And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hello. Scott Horton is host of Anti-War Radio on Pacifica 90.7 FM KPFK in Los Angeles and in Riverside and in whatever. And the Scott Horton Show, you know, people that listen to that show know what's going on when it comes to war. And that's why we're talking to Scott. And the thing is that there's a list, okay? You go through all this, you want to find out what the hell is going on and who's one of the guys on the top of the list, Mr. Scott Horton. And we want to talk about Syria, we want to talk about Iran, we want to talk about chemical weapons, we want to talk about treaties and stuff and everything. And we have in the second hour, we have Sheldon Richmond from Future Freedom Foundation. He's going to give his update. And then in the last hour, Matt Papke, a local activist here extraordinaire, a Marine running for city council in Tempe, and his first fundraising, I'm running kind of a year ahead meeting, 200-300 people show up. They have no idea what's coming. You know, this is the one that we're going to be playing with and having fun with because I could see what was happening. He's the right kind of guy doing the right thing and understands that, you know, you're still voting. But, you know, he's going to play the game, go whip some butt, and we're going to talk about that. But first, Scott Horton, because I need to know what the hell. I've been asking people. Big names. Explain it to me. After we get out of this Syria mess, the people say, hell no, not just no, but hell no, bunch of times. And then right within a week, these guys coming out. Well, yeah, okay, well, but we're still going after Iran, right? We're going to go get Iran. I'm like, wow, man, it was always, you know, behind the scenes an Iran thing. Okay, Scott, what's going on today that's so important with Iran?
Well, today, John Kerry is going to be meeting with their foreign minister at the United Nations. And then there were rumors from the end of last week that Barack Obama might meet with President Rouhani, the new smiling face elected president there. And the neocons, the ones champing at the bit for war that you're mentioning there, they hate this guy. They've got, remember the conservatives used to accuse those of us who knew better than them about George Bush of having Bush derangement syndrome, where we just hated him no matter what, which really wasn't true. We hate him because of how horrible he was and all the horrible things he did. But anyway, they've got Rouhani derangement syndrome, which is they have to find a way to hate this guy. Benjamin Netanyahu says, well, he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's just going to keep on enriching. Yeah, but so what? He's enriching to 3.6%. Measly 3.6% industrial grade for his enrichment facilities, for his nuclear electricity program. Uranium has to be above 90% purity to make a bomb. So it's Netanyahu, bringing up wolves from fairy tales and things. He's the boy who cried wolf. If, you know, you want to get into that kind of thing. He's been screaming and crying about the danger of Iran this whole time. And guess what? They never were a nuclear danger. And now there's finally a chance, and I don't know whether Obama or any of the different powers behind Obama really care enough to do the right thing this time, but Ernie, they have a chance for a real nuclear deal. Because really, All I have to say, the outlines of a nuclear deal have been very obvious for a very long time, and that is we'll lift the sanctions and promise that, you know, to back off any policy of regime change if they will promise to adopt the additional protocol to their agreement with the International Atomic Energy Agency, which basically just means search warrant plus, and so the IAEA could go more places and ask more questions and demand more papers and that kind of thing. As long as they stay within that additional protocol and they keep their enrichment down to only 3.6% and not up to even 20% for their medical isotope reactor, then everybody's cool. Shake hands and that's it, and we can be friends with the Iranians. Now, of course, the Americans have a real grudge about them declaring independence from our evil empire back in 1979.
Not allowed.
The Israelis have a thing where any enrichment of anything, anything that anyone could describe as a civilian nuclear program of any kind counts as a nuclear weapons program as far as they're concerned, because they're horribly dishonest and paranoid.
Okay. The thing that I want to make sure that we get into is, isn't it true that Iran, whatever agreements that they had before, that they abided by? I don't remember that they broke anything. You know, they were doing it wrong. It was just that they had a nuclear program for electricity, and they're like, oh, heck no, it's because it had the word nuclear. It was just an excuse.
Right. Yeah, basically.
Okay, so there. I mean,
now they are in violation. They are in violation of UN Security Council resolution.
Which is what?
It's sort of like if the UN Security Council said, "Ernie, turn in your guns," and your answer would be no. They are part of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, and under that treaty, they have an agreement with the IAEA called their Safeguards Agreement that I was just referring to there. But the UN Security Council has demanded that they open up non-nuclear facilities to inspection, like where they make missiles or where they make the centrifuges. But no nuclear material is being introduced in any machines anywhere. In other words, none of the IAEA's business. But the UN Security Council keeps mandating that you answer a million questions based on Israeli forgeries, the so-called alleged studies documents. You allow unending access to all these non-nuclear facilities and cease enriching whatsoever.
Okay,
so
now,
the Iranian position has been, UN Security Council, go to hell. You don't have any right to tell us to do those things, and we will not give in to that. So they are in violation of UN Security Council resolutions, but they are not in violation of the Non-Proliferation Treaty or their Safeguards Agreement.
Okay, so my point is that whatever they signed on to, they agreed to, and then you had the UN come up and just making up new stuff on the fly and
exactly.
Say, yeah, but this and this and this and this, and screw you, we never signed on to that, and now we don't care, we're UN.
Exactly.
All right.
And moving the goalposts, that's what they call it. You know, oh, you did the 10 things we demanded? Well, now do this other
okay,
stuff.
Okay, now
too.
We got some new goalposts going on here. What's happening is that I hear tell that when they went to Syria and they said, well, if you give up all your chemical, okay. And they go, damn it. You know, so they go to Iran and they say, well, if you stop, they go, okay. And they go, damn it. You know what I mean? It's like they want war. And I need to understand, so, help me out, Scott. Everybody's evading me. I'm going, why? What is so important about going kicking ass on Iran? What is the deal?
It's all about Israel. And it's like I was saying before, they really consider any nuclear technology in Iran to be an existential threat. Oh, my God, it's 1938, and Hitler's about to throw everybody in an oven, and yeah, yeah, yeah. And so if you're looking for, you know, intelligence and wisdom in a political position or a policy that you could understand from the point of view of the people implementing it, you know, as a reasonable thing for them to do, then I can't help you with that. I mean, the truth is, if you and me were running Israel, we would have a policy of making friends with Iran, because this is stupid. But they just don't get it.
But when we
so
come back,
that's why.
We'll go ahead and ask Scott to tell us, you know, what's going on today. There's a meeting. They're going to sit down. Kerry's sitting down with their sit down, and Obama might sit down. They're going to claim something on their sit down, and then somebody's going to be upset because they go, "No, we got to bomb Iran." And maybe we will.
Get over to SonsOfLibertyMint.com right now. Secure your wealth by trading in those pesky Federal Reserve notes for Sons of Liberty Mint's fine silver quarters. These one-quarter ounce bars, square in shape and stamped trust in yourself, are unlike any other traditional round. With four pieces per ounce, you'll not only be investing in sound money, but you'll also be purchasing usable, divisible silver. Don't get stuck with ferns or bulky silver bars. Visit SUNSOfLibertyMint.com today and invest in silver you can use.
Okay, do we got anything to say about the economy, precious metals, Germany's election, any of this other stuff?
Actually, those are three things that I'd be really bad on, but we could talk about the hostage situation in Somalia. We could talk about the fact we're still at war in Afghanistan.
Somalia? What's going on in Somalia?
There's still a civil war raging in Iraq right now. And you know, the whole Syria thing, it depends on how much
What's going on in Somalia? You mean the mall thing? I thought that was Kenya or something.
Well, yeah, but it's the Somali rebels that did it. It's blowback from America's culture, of
course. Okay. All right, well, we'll start with the Iranian thing, and we'll whip through a lot of this other stuff.
Iran and Syria, and then wherever from there, I guess.
Freaking mall. Iraq. What was the other one you said?
Well, Iran and Syria first, and then, Afghanistan is still a huge thing. I mean, it doesn't get any coverage, but there's still...
All right, here we go.
You know.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
All roads lead to war! You start with the government, it's our roads, and you can't build any roads, it's our roads, and the road to war is, that's why Eisenhower did the interstate system here. He's like, hey, man, when I was in World War II in Germany, they had really nice, big roads that we could, roll our tanks in to defeat them. We need lots of roads. You know, we're doing it under the Department of Defense. We're going to create a road system so we can move around and move around. You know why? Because... You know, so that was under Department of Defense. It did. We got to have, where we go, there aren't any roads because there isn't any war. Of course, there'll be roads. Who'll build them? People. Oh, seriously. All right. So, Iran. We need to finish with Iran. There's a meeting going on today. Who's going to help us out? Mr. Scott Horton. Mr. Scott Horton, pray tell us.
Who's going to help us out? John Kerry.
Okay.
Cross your fingers. No, I mean... Look, it comes down to this. If it was you or me up there, the outlines of the deal, as I was saying before the break, are right there. If they want to make a deal, they can shake hands. This new guy, Rouhani, he has said explicitly, I have all the authority I need to make this deal. As in, that's been approved by the Supreme Ayatollah over there, that he can make a deal. And he's made a bunch of diplomatic overtures, and I'm not saying that they would make the deal today, but if they were serious and they wanted to make a deal where they agreed that they would meet in a few weeks and they would make the deal then or 3 weeks after that or whatever, you know how it is with diplomacy.
They don't want to make a deal.
If they wanted to do it, they could agree that, yes, we want to do it and we're going to do it over the next 6 weeks
or
whatever.
They're going to make it. This is what I anticipate. Yep, see, we got a deal. Peace is on the horizon. Got a deal. False flag then. I'm sorry. We can't do it. Something blew up. I mean, it's just these guys, there's something else going on. You're still not answering my question. I ask everybody this, and nobody answers it. Scott, help me out. What the hell is with Iran? Why Iran? Who gives two craps about Iran?
Because they're independent from the empire, Ernie. And because from the point of view of the Israelis, they're independent of our empire and therefore theirs. But also they're a revolutionary religious regime. They serve as an example to the rest of them. And look at how long they've gotten away with it, thumbing their nose at everybody instead of getting in their proper place. And I will not completely dismiss their, if you can call it legitimate paranoia. I don't think they're only pretending. I think the Americans are only pretending to be concerned about their nuclear program. I don't think the Israelis are only pretending. They are pretending... that they believe that Iran would ever really nuke them. But Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, and Ehud Barak, the defense minister, explained to Jeffrey Goldberg at The Atlantic back in 2009, or I guess it could have been 10, Anyway, but they explained to him that what they were afraid of was a brain drain, that talented Israelis would go to America for grad school and then they would stay, or that if Israel wanted to attack Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, that they might have to think twice if the Iranians are holding a nuke. It just changes the balance of the chessboard and their blah, blah, blah. And so they it limits their freedom of action. And that's how the Israelis and the Americans both define a threat, is the possibility that anyone or anything can resist us.
You know, this reminds me of the fog of war. Did you ever see the McNamara documentary thing? I got a clip here. Let me play.
I'll beg your audience to see it if they haven't.
Okay, let me play this one clip. This is about, you know, during the Cuban Missile Crisis, they're building all this. They're doing what they call brinkmanship. You know, bring it to the brink. Who's going to blink first? And who, you know, here we go.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And Castro got very angry with me because I said, "Mr. President, let's stop this meeting. This is totally new to me. I'm not sure I got the translation right. Mr. President, I have three questions to you. Number one, did you know the nuclear warheads were there? Number two, if you did, would you have recommended to Khrushchev, in the face of a U.S. attack, that he use them? Number three, if he had used them, what would have happened to Cuba?" He said, "Number one, I knew they were there. Number two, I would not have recommended to Khrushchev. I did recommend to Khrushchev that they be used. Number three, what would have happened to Cuba? It would have been totally destroyed." That's how close we were.
And he was willing to accept that?
Yes. Oh, and he went on to say, "Mr. McNamara, if you and President Kennedy had been in a similar situation, that's what you would have done." I said, "Mr. President, I hope to God we would not have done it. Pull the temple down on our heads, my God."
Yep, and this is exactly what they're playing right now. They think you can buy nuclear weapons at a discount in volume from the former Soviet general De La whatever, and you think that they don't have them. You're sitting there poking the bear. How stupid are we? There is something else going on, Scott, something else. It is a much larger game of and the empire will not go, and it's them versus us, and the only thing saving us is an entire generation next that is just communicating with each other, and, you know, the people in Israel love Iran, and the people in Iran love Israel, and you got this whole campaign in 12, just people on Facebook bypassing their representatives, and they're trying, no, we negotiate, people aren't allowed to, like, be friends with other people across this line that we made up, and I'm going, wow, this is I see a worldwide revolution coming on, and I don't think they understand it.
Well, I mean, it sounds like what you're saying is, if you take the model of the reason that they mess with Syria so bad is to try to weaken Iran, it's sort of a weak link in Iran's alliance system. I mean, you could take what you're saying and say, well, a big part of why they're messing with the Iranians is because they're a weaker link in Russia's alliance system, and that is still the old Cold War.
You think that might be it? I mean, are they still got this thing against, you know, because Putin, you know, Mr. KGB, he understood the power of propaganda. I mean, the Voice of America and all of and they're being bad. Hell, what do you think RT is? You know, he goes, "I know the power of this, just telling the truth. Look,
yeah,
they're being bad."
The Saudis and the Sunnis versus Russia, Iran, and the Shiites, right?
Yeah, you know, and it's
now,
any more
George
complicated
W. Bush,
than that.
We fought for the Shiites, but that was just because they didn't know what the hell they were doing for a minute there. Now they're back on board with the Saudis again.
Oh, no. It's worse than that. I mean, you know, it's like it's like 1984. We've always been at war with Eurasia. their whole thing is that we're against Al-Qaeda, and now we're for them when they're with the kind of, Osama bin was our bud and then not, and kind of, it's craziness, and I'm wondering what the rest of the world sees.
Well, the rest of the world sees the worst hypocrisy. You know, Uncle Sam as the devil. And, I don't know. I think that's one thing that Americans in general are really bad at, is imagining themselves from other countries' point of view. It's like we're the people and they're all the everybody else. You know, like they're all aliens from other planets.
Well, they need someone
to
kind of lead them into that. You know, that's what this, Dr. Paul's thing. It just was so refreshing to so many people because you had someone just doing some common sense, and giving some history and blowback and the concept of and all that. And they're going, Damn. You know what? That sounded logical. When we come back, what we're going to do is we have a bunch of other issues to talk about. You know, there's the Somali people are at some mall in Africa doing something, and there's all kinds of interesting stories going on. But what's really behind that? Why are they doing that? Why did they pick this big Western super mall to go rampage on whatever and get some headlines? You know, the headlines are really what? Okay, so we'll go with the give me some I know nothing other than whatever's, you know, floating across Freedom's Phoenix here. It's I thought it was Kenya. Is it Kenya?
Yeah, Kenya. In Nairobi, Kenya is where the attack is. Same place as the bombing in 98. Remember the twin bombings in 98, Nairobi, Kenya, and Dar es Salaam, Tanzania?
Nairobi, Kenya. What, you mean against the embassy?
Yeah.
Nairobi.
Same town.
Kenya.
And it's al-Shabaab that's doing it, and they're basically the local al-Qaeda affiliate in Somalia.
Okay, you can share all that stuff with me. Okay, we got Iraq and Afghanistan is still in freaking car bomb, you know, mode. So, yeah. You know, whatever the hell's going on there. And then, you know, the most stable place in the whole freaking thing is Iran.
Yeah. Nobody invades Persia, you know? Not since the Soviets and the British, anyway. I mean, it's a pretty big piece to bite off. You know what I mean? You think the occupation of Iraq was difficult? Imagine trying to actually do a boots on the ground regime change.
No, they're just going to want to lay waste and do the drone thing, you know. And then it's like game on. They're not really occupying Washington D.C. They're in some Cayman Island, chilling on the beach somewhere. You know, they don't care what happens. There's something else going on, and is it something as simple as a, you know, oil thing? Is it a banking thing? You know, they're trying to hold together the dollar. Is it?
You know what? Look, it's all of that stuff, right? You can't reduce it all down. I mean, they're the ones who call it full spectrum dominance, right? Benevolent global hegemony. They want to be the rulers of everything for everything's own.
Okay, well, then
right?
I need
like
you
a
to
bunch
say
of global
that.
Global Democrats.
You know, multi-spectral freaking I rule you. I mean, you know, because they are that maniacal. They're Dr. Evil, they're pinky out, you know. So I'm just going, that's why I have such a hard time with a lot of these different groups and so on. We go and we talk and different meetings, and you've been to a lot of these, you know. Yeah, but we should all rally behind and this guy for Congress or something. And I'm just going, you don't understand. We're against a philosophy. We're up. It's good versus evil, kind of at the base fundamental leave people aloneism. And I'm going, but they go, yeah, but if we didn't have any government, then how will we ever have a chance for our turn to rule, you know? And I'm going, wow, there is definitely, and I think it's a generational thing with the internet and new kids coming up and actually not seeing other countries as a single entity, a thing, you know, they're starting to actually communicate with people. And I'm going, yeah, this is not going to go well. And they are going to do something to try and smokescreen all that, to trumpet, you know, a big false flag something. And I'm Golden Gate Bridge, St. Louis Arch is toast, man. I mean, there's something coming, and I could feel it because they will not go quietly into that good night. And the only thing that's going to save us is just information, logic, reason, you know, whatever. And sooner or later, these guys are going to have to be repudiated in some way. And I think it's going to start with the dollar. And then everything's up in the air once that happens, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that, you know, the next big terrorist attack, is it going to work on the American people in the same way as 9/11 did, where everybody just rallies around whatever president failed to stop it again? I don't know, man.
They don't know any better than
counting on a lot. That might be a bad policy that, hey, after all this, we still can't protect you, you know?
Yeah, here we go.
Online, this is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. My very, 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 very special anti-war, what the heck's going on? Tell me everything. Guest, Mr. Scott Horton, Anti-War Radio. You know, this is one of the examples of the blowback. Just one of the things, itty-bitty little thing that happens and kind of in a few, and it's just going to be multiplied times a gazillion when it gets serious, is the Kenyon Mall take over by some Somali somebody doing something. And we get a lot of stories we have up on Freedom's Phoenix, top of the page today. An SAS individual, you know, it's a special forces British guy, you know, he's there and he's like, you know what? I have my gun, or I got my gun in the car 12 times. He goes back into the mall to save people. Boom, 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 boom. He's going to play in all that special forces stuff. So they're going to make a movie out of that and never even talk about why they're there. What the heck? Scott, help me out here, man. Why? What's going on?
Yeah. Well, you know, I saw on CNN yesterday. They go, all right, now for a little bit of background about the guys doing this. They magically appeared from the ether back in 2006, like back when people used to believe that life could come from death, like flies came from meat or something, when they didn't really realize that
that it was
science, you know, that the flies had to lay some eggs first. Anyway, history doesn't begin in 2006, contra CNN, which, hey, at least they were willing to go back that far. But anyway, here's what was going on. Somalia was a communist dictatorship, and then when communism fell apart, you know, they were backed by the Soviets. They were backed by the Americans because they were the enemies of the Ethiopians, who were also communists, but they were backed by the Soviets. That's back in the 1980s. Then in the 1990s, it was dog-eat-dog, warlord civil war. H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton got caught up in the Operation Restore Hope, Black Hawk Down, Special Forces Fight Disgrace thing, and then they left, and they pretty much left the place alone until after September 11th. And then they decided that they would go back and hire all the warlords that were the bad guys from Black Hawk Down, and they would pay these warlords to hunt down. This is the ridiculous part of it. Suspects, like less than one handful of suspects, single-digit suspects, wanted for questioning by the FBI, supposedly. That's in the words of the Washington Post officialdom. Wanted for questioning by the FBI in the case of the African embassy bombings of 1998. And so they paid these warlords, the CIA paid these warlords to, of course, do whatever they wanted. And the warlords ended up just, you know, in the name of hunting down these bad guys, they ended up just carving out their own little fiefdoms and going back to war with each other and turning Somalia back upside down again. And what happened was the people of Somalia, the more the Americans backed these warlords and the worse the warlords got in their raping and pillaging and murdering and gangsterism, then the more the people of Somalia finally started to support the creation of a new government there, one powerful enough to defeat the warlords. And they did. It was called the Islamic Courts Union, and it was 13 different groups. And it was led by the old men, uncles and doctors and teachers and religious leaders like that. But they had Islamic in their name, and it was way too much for... And you know what? They actually were very willing to talk with the Americans. They were not the Taliban. It was only in the propaganda that they were some, you know, totalitarian Islamist state like our allies in Saudi Arabia across the sea there, the Red Sea. So George Bush and Dick Cheney hired the Ethiopians to invade at Christmas 2006 and turned the country completely upside down and murdered tens of thousands of people, rapes and atrocities and horror, and massive just campaign against civilians, madness. So the guys who were thrown out of power, the Islamic Courts Union, one group in their 13-member group was the Al-Shabaab, the youth. Well, they were the ones who did the fighting because they were the young and, you know, testosterone-filled and armed. And so they were the ones who fought. And they ended up defeating the Ethiopians and driving them out of the country in 2008. And so Condoleezza Rice made a deal that The Islamic Courts Union can be the government of the country after all. Sorry for overthrowing you. You can be the government, but it has to be within the form of the crappy thing that her State Department drew up for them and the UN drew up for them, the transitional federal government form created by the West. But the same people could take power again. But that wasn't good enough for al-Shabaab. And al-Shabaab denounced then the people who had they had been fighting for as traitors for selling out to the Americans and have continued their war ever since. And Thomas Mountain, who's a great journalist who lives in Eritrea, who I interviewed on, he writes for Counterpunch. I interviewed him on my show yesterday, and he said, you know, they're nothing but merciless, you know, gangsters for hire now. They're just, you know, professional killers and just one more militia roaming the countryside in Somalia now, but they're armed to the teeth and they're creating major damage. And they are, it took 6 years. It wasn't until 2012. It took 6 years or, well, five and a half or something before finally al-Shabaab declared themselves bin Ladenites and loyal to the agenda of al-Qaeda and whatever, whatever. You know, never mind the fact the Islamic Courts Union never had anything to do with that in the first place. But it took years before al-Shabaab decided that they wanted to, you know, declare themselves the local East African franchise of that. And now I think this is really important and really dangerous because there's a huge Somali-American population, especially Minneapolis, and apparently a dozen or two dozen maybe even or more Somali Americans have traveled to Somalia to fight in the jihad against the empire and its proxy armies there, which now includes the Kenyans, the Ugandans, and the Burundians, as well as the Ethiopians who have reinvaded. But so I believe that, you know, Ernie, come on, it doesn't take much imagination to go from al-Shabaab attacking a mall in Kenya to al-Shabaab staying here. Why travel to Somalia? They could attack a mall here, you know. And
it seems
our
like
government continues to create enemies for the people of this country.
Is
you know,
it
intense?
Is
ways.
It just stupidity or is it intentional? I mean, it's like
well,
a,
they don't care about the consequences. It's like the crack epidemic in L.A. That wasn't the point. It's just they didn't care. You know, they wanted to make their money. So it's just, you know, they don't care about consequences. As you know, consequences are just a new crisis to exploit. You know, carry on.
All right. Well, this
it's
is
mean. Oh, let me say one more thing about this. I got an article. It's in the subscription only Future Freedom of the Future Freedom Foundation right now. But it's called U.S. to Blame for Somalia's Misery, and it'll be out for the general public at some point anyway. But it's about mostly it's about the famine that took place in 2009 there, where their market economy, which they did have a bit of a market economy before, you know, at the turn of the century, but the war had completely destroyed it. And when the famine came, when the drought came, the market was not there to compensate. And so the weather killed 260,000 people. Of course, little bitty children, half of them under 5 years old, half. That's 175,000 dead children, 5 years old and under. And then the rest, of course, their moms and sisters and grandmas.
But was it worth it?
No. It's, you know what it is? It's a microcosm of the entire terror war. It's starting trouble where you don't belong in the first place, and you take every bit of escalation that you cause as the excuse for your next round of escalation, and on it goes, and little children die. And it's the devil is what it is.
Madeleine Albright, they asked, you know, there's hundreds of thousands, half a million children dead because of your missiles in Clinton administration, Iraq, kind of, well, yeah, it was a tough decision, but somebody had to lay waste to the children. You know, we got to be in charge. You know, and so this is we're part of the problem. I mean, if we don't understand this stuff and the history of and our inaction and what happens to us, do we deserve it? Well, certainly the government may. We'll talk about it more when we come back. We still need to get to Iraq and Afghanistan.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Robertson Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
Okay, so the mall thing, we're not really done with that. I mean, you know, these guys go in to what, to do what, and who's doing what, you know?
Right.
So, all right, so we'll go ahead. We got just one more segment, so we need to finish up on that real quick, kind of do a summary. Yep, you have this. It happened in 98, they did this. In 2000, they did that in the U.S. and kind of keep meddling in fingers, and all of a sudden now we got al-Shabaab doing, and we pledge allegiance to al-Qaeda, which may be supported in the back room by, you know, freaking Israel, U.S., and God knows what. You know, they sure shit are now in Syria.
Saudis, anyway. Yeah,
you know. Okay, well, that's another
thing.
That was
pretty good. I guess, I mean, it sounds to me like I taught you that whole story there real quick, and it stuck, right?
Yeah, no, I get it. They, them, those doing they, them, those, and they, them, those, and, you know, it's always that way. See, the thing is that, you know, that's the point that I'm making. A lot of these different little groups and so on, it started back with Osama in Afghanistan. It's the same shit, you know? And now it's kind of this, you know, Sunni Shiite, you know, thing going on, but that it's used. There would normally not be a problem. It's like, you know, the Catholics versus the Mormons or something. They go, yeah, well, we're right and you're wrong. Yeah, but we don't really need to shoot each other. Well, we need to get that amped up into some shooting, you know? So I can see that. And now let's finish up. Go ahead and do the summary like that real quick and get us into the mall and what's going on there in the end. But before we end, I'd like to get, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan update.
Right on.
All right, let's do that. And then you know, you look at the whole damn thing, though, the Iran's the most stable, you know? Can't have that. All right, here we go.
Yeah. Well, you know, if the American government had our interests in mind at all, or even their own interests in mind. Iran is their natural-born ally. Iran,
yeah, no. There's something else going on. That's the point.
Hates everybody they hate. You
at
know?
LRN.FM. Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
From your lies.
Lies.
Okay, we're going to finish up on the mall thing. You know, who's doing what and where and how and how this is going to end and why. And, you know, we're going to go lay waste a bunch of people because we can. Because, I mean, what, we wanted to, you know, have free reign shoplifting or something? I mean, I don't understand what the point is. We'll find out. Iraq and Afghanistan, I mean, you know, the car bombing, blowing up, personal detonating, kind of, they're not done. It's just amping up. You know, how'd that work out for us? And then, if you look at the Middle East and the history of all this, where do you want to go visit? Where's the most stable? Where's the safe? Where, Iran? Well, we can't have that. Hell, they may be Islamic, but they're not Arab. They are Persian. They speak an entirely different language. They want, you know, it is in our, somebody's interest. I don't know who, not mine, but somebody, you know, the United States, the empire, we got to have chaos in freaking Iran, damn it. And we can't get it because they're just, you know, they're a modernized country. And they're going, man, what the hell? So now, you know, the Russians get involved. And that, well, if you just, okay, here, we'll give up this nuclear. We got, is that it? Are we done now? Yeah, we'll think of something else. All right, so here we go. So, yeah, Scott, help me out, man. Go ahead and summarize, you know, what's led up to the mall and what their purpose is. Go.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I love the use of personal detonating there. Yeah, I believe there were suicide bombings in this attack, and it was al-Shabaab guys attacked a mall in Nairobi, Kenya. They've killed I don't know how many people. I don't even know if the thing's really all the way over yet. Maybe it is by now. Last I saw last night, they said they had very few hostages left to liberate, but they were mostly done with it. But the thing's gone on since Saturday or something, so a huge deal. I mean, imagine if this was in America, where there had been an entire gigantic battle at a mall and went on for days and days with, you know, at least double digits of people killed and whatever. I mean, this is a huge thing. Now, the degree to which the empire is going to exploit it and pretend that history started yesterday and all of a sudden there's this al-Shabaab movement for no reason that we can discern and now we're going to have to do something about it, I don't know. I mean, obviously, if they want to point at so-called Sunni-based insurgency anywhere in the world as an excuse to start another war, the world's lousy with Sunni-based insurgencies. Of course, we're fighting on the side of the Sunni-based insurgency in Syria right now, just like we did in Libya back in 2011.
Okay, what is Saudi Arabia? How is it? It seems like, you know, all this is just you know, insulate. Saudi is supposed to be the United States' ally, but, you know, does that make them Israel's ally? And then, you know, but the Israel controls us, or we're certainly, you know, locked at the hip with Israel. Sauds, you know, are playing the game on our side. Are they kind of behind the scenes doing something else? You can't keep track of this stuff.
Well, I mean, I think you just hit on something really important. It's the first priority of the Saudis and the Israelis to prevent America from having peace with Iran for their own selfish reasons. They need their, you know, giant implacable enemy so that they have an excuse to ask for our help. In other words, to collect our tax dollars for themselves. And so, you know, if everything was fine, if everybody could be friends over there, then there's nobody to sell a bunch of jet fighters to, and there's nobody to buy them. And so, you know, that's a big part of it.
Okay, al-Shabaab. The mall thing.
It's like, you know,
why?
Let me say real quick. It's just like Andrew Coburn's article about the sanctions. He writes about the blockade of Germany after World War One and how the institution of the blockade had been perfected to such a degree that they didn't dare want to lift it. Even though the war was over, they continued just starving people to death because the bureaucrats had implemented it so perfectly, kind of a thing. It had its own momentum as a government program. It's the same kind of thing with the Cold War against Iran. And from all the different vested interests who have gotten on board for the Cold War against Iran, none of them want to see it go.
Because then their job goes
Saudi
away.
Kings or, yeah.
Okay. So, again, the al-Shabaab thing. What is the end game in the mall? Did they think they were going to, like, you know, build the headquarters in the mall or something? I mean, why did they do it?
No, I mean, I think they're trying to get a reaction. Terrorism is all about the reaction of the people being terrorized. And I think in this case, they probably, just like when Al-Qaeda attacked the United States, the goal is either, one, to get you to realize that you shouldn't have poked the hornet's nest and to back off, or two, go ahead and climb all the way in so they can sting you to death. And so that's what al-Shabaab is now saying to the Kenyans. If you want war with us, let's have a war then. And so then it'll be up to the people of Kenya or up to the politicians of Kenya to decide whether they're going to double down now in Somalia or whether they're going to withdraw. I mean, that's...
Okay,
you know,
so Kenya has invaded
of the Shabaab guys. That's my armchair interpretation of the killings at the mall. That's
okay,
what it's
so
about.
Why did Kenya go into Somalia?
Because America said so. And because the al-Shabaab militia and their violence that was a consequence of American intervention there all along had ended up leading to, and, you know, there's some conflicting information about this, but at least the official story is that there were some kidnappings and some, you know, some robberies and things going on right at the border region, right where Kenya has some fancy resorts and stuff like that. So they wanted to, in order to guarantee their own security, they would go ahead and invade Somalia. And then the Americans had them actually liberate, quote-unquote, Kismayo, the port town of Kismayo, and drive off al-Shabaab, who had captured it. So they have played a major part in the war. Al-Shabaab has plenty of reason to want revenge against them.
So we got blowback coming, you know, raining down all around us.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you and I are safe here in North America. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this week.
Like I was saying before, the worst danger that we face of it is Somali Americans who decide to join up the jihad, but not go fight there, but stay here. Which, you know, we talk all about the dozens and dozens and dozens of bogus FBI sting operations, but there have also been a couple of actual attempted real terrorist attacks. That guy Zazi, the Afghan from Denver, Colorado, and Faisal Shahzad, the guy that attempted the Times Square bombing. These are Americans, naturalized Americans, who go home to where they're from, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and see the civilian deaths and the casualties, etc. They join up on the other side of the war, and then they come back to the United States and attempt to carry out terrorist attacks. This could happen. Now, would anyone, and because TV doesn't tell us about America's role in Somalia, if they did attack the Mall of America or something in Minneapolis like that, which is predictable for, you know, years going back, they would probably just pretend like, oh, my God, Somalis hate us for our freedom, and nobody knows why anyone would want to do such a thing. But here we go again. And then, you know, I don't know whether they really want to invade the place. They probably don't. But they could escalate their JSOC war and their CIA war there if they want.
Well, before we run out of time, this is all like a consequence of
children to death.
Of us being buttheads. But, you know, you go, well, we stabilize them, we fix them, it's over and so on. Really. Tell us what. Give us an update real quick on Iraq and Afghanistan. Where, you know, how's that mess?
Iraq is an absolute nightmare right now. Just, you know, hold a funeral and it'll get bombed. I mean, it is just an absolute horror show. And, you know, to boil it all the way down, it comes down to America fought a war to expel the Sunni Arabs from Baghdad and give it to the Shiites. Well, the Sunni Arabs want it back, and they don't really... And this is oversimplification, obviously. They don't really have the power to take it back, the ability to take it back. But they feel so energized by the war in Syria. This is the former Sunni-based insurgency. Our soldiers fought that whole time, right? They're so energized by their war in Syria and their recognition that they're backed by the Saudis. They're the majority in the region, not the Shiites. And they figure the wind is at their back. Maybe now's their chance to try to retake Baghdad, I guess. And I don't think that they can really do it, but apparently, you know, Patrick Coburn was telling me that in the fog of war, it seems to them, apparently, that they can. And because the Shiite government doesn't care about them whatsoever, does nothing but torture them and doesn't provide a single service, they're in full-scale rebellion against the American-installed government in Baghdad. That's democracy for you.
You know, we're looking at what's going to happen is... The American people, as always, are going to take sideline status and cheerlead, you know, one side or the other, or do the America's pledge salute kind of something. And what role are we going to have in this until it comes home? And who
invade Iraq?
Yeah. And who benefits from that? You know, it's a generational thing. We're just going to evolve past it. And all these people fighting, all these people that are fighting, you know, I think Generation X just has to replace them. But it starts with information like what we get from Scott Horton, Anti-War Radio. Scott, thanks for helping us, man. Hopefully we'll get you back real soon and give us more update. We just scratched the surface.
Thanks very much for having me, Ernie. Good to talk to you again. Since time.
There you go. All right. The what I want is you to come on. God, I'm busy for a couple. I got a whole bunch of stuff going on. But I tell you, I don't think we're going to make it to Halloween before, you know, you need to come back and the rest of the story. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to do it anytime.
All right, cool. We'll be calling you back and setting it up probably before Halloween because it's craziness. And I need you to help me walk because it's by choice that I don't get all, because I can tell. It's they, them, those, man. It's just some weird something. And if it's as simple as because Iran will not capitulate. I mean, and then they go, okay, well, you did the Syria. They gave up a chemical. Okay, well, here, give that. Okay, now what? Well, damn it. That's not what. There's something else going on. You know, and I'm trying to figure out what it is. And it's something as simple as we just want to rule the whole world and, you know, and the Persians aren't allowing us. I mean, if there's something at the top. There's something, and it could be as simple as just a few old guys that are just fucking nuts. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, I think they say power corrupts, but, geez, I forgot now who it was that taught me the phrase. Power makes you stupid, too. These people, because one of the things is, they get so convinced that they're the only ones who know what's going on because they have such high level of classification, whatever, whatever, that they couldn't be told a thing by you or me, who don't know the things that they know. And so, but in reality, their secrets really aren't worth all that much, and they end up ignoring what's really going on in the world, and they're really not that bright. You know,
there was.
Like, look at Hillary Clinton. That's about as wonky and intelligent as a policymaker could be.
I know.
And yet she's a disaster area.
You know, there was a young girl, Megan from Roberts and Roberts, one of our sponsors that was at Porkfest. She won the Soapbox Idol. And in her rant up there in the final thing, you know, she gets up and that forum, they're like, you know, and F this and F that. And she goes, how many times I got to say fuck to win this thing, you know? So she gets up and she does her thing. And the point that she made in like her 1 minute recap of her rant from before and then she wins was they're stupid evil. And I'm going, man, I couldn't have put it better. Stupid evil. They're just stupid evil. And I'm going, that is really what apply. Like you're saying, you know, this. You know, power just makes you stupid and evil. You're just stupid evil. And if you look at it that way, it's a lot easier to understand, but how do you rid yourself of that? And I'm going, I don't want to fix them or do anything. It's ourselves. We're the problem. And that's why it's important to me to have you on a regular basis to try and make sure we're not the problem anymore.
I totally agree with that. I mean, ultimately, look at this Syria thing. We didn't really get a chance to talk about this on the show, but the people said absolutely not, and Obama apparently called Putin begging for a lifeline because it was going to be us that stopped them, and he couldn't have that, but it pretty much was anyway. You know, it's still our victory anyway. They tried to short-circuit it, but it was still our victory anyway. The people were just adamantly opposed, and if they stay that way, if they could be made to stay that way somehow, then we can end this.
I mean, no, there are two things out of that. One, Putin, Mr. KGB, President Russia, comes out being the peacemaker. That is to laugh. Then you have the other thing was you're on camera here. The other thing was I lost my train of thought.
That's all right. Don't you have to get Sheldon on right now?
Yeah, I got 5 minutes. But
oh, okay.
All right, yeah, we'll go. We'll talk about it more. But damn, I'm still trying to understand the simplicity of this thing. And there is a
the same thing we do every day, Pinky. We try to take over the world,
right? You know, well, that's exactly. But I'm trying to see. Okay, where's the top of the pyramid on this? Is it the central bankers? Is it that simple? It's a central bank thing. You know, because
you know
somebody
it's really a free for all. That's what's fun about it, man. If there's 100 different skull and bones, right? There's everybody's an individual.
Well,
and,
see, they're
and
trying
there are
to
a hell of a lot of different groups vying for their own piece of the
right.
pie, and that's why it's such a freaking mess.
Well, it's
dude.
Like the mafia having their little conference and sitting. Okay, I'll take New York. You get Detroit. I mean, you know, but it's a philosophy that we're against. See, that's my point. It's a levolution kind of in the head thing. If we can understand it enough to see that, recognize the evil, the initiation of force, the thou shalt leave me alone-isms, you know that? You know, if we can understand that as a culture, then, and the only way that's going to happen is instantaneous, like, Facebook and kind of communication, internet, everybody generation from 13 to 23 gets it and, screw them. As soon as we start ignoring them, you don't know enough. I need to know enough to be able to recognize them. That's why I like the Declaration of Independence. When governments are destructive of these ends, it's time to alter, abolish. That's it. They go try to make it more complicated than that, and it's not. So if we can do that, I don't want to be the Scott Horton of understand what. I just want to be able to call Scott and say, okay, is it still true what I think, that they're just effed up like polio and it's a power thing? Pretty much. Okay, then I'm good. You know, people don't support that. Okay, let's go on to the next thing. Let's do our aquaponics and grow food and learn how to, can tomatoes and make our own soap. Fuck them, you know? So I can – this is where I'm going in my head, man. It is a – we evolve past them because you're not going to change them. You have to ignore them out of existence, because if you do anything else, then you just bolster them just by even – paying attention to them. You know, I mean, the Syria thing was, they're going to keep doing this shit. So what do I counter that with? You think him going, and I put up, and I let you go after this. I go, look up, are you at a computer?
Yeah, yeah.
Go Google Wrong Paul, W-R-O-N-G, Wrong Paul.
Uh-huh.
And it should be a Freedom's Phoenix thing come up. Davi Barker did this artwork. He was at Libertopia, and he goes, yeah, I'm just going to put a W in front of Ron and a G after it, and it'll be Wrong Paul with Rand Paul thing. And there was a poem that went to Amy Allen's Ron Paul, start a revolution, all right. And it was like, Wrong Paul. Because I go, look, this is going to be this logo will follow Rand around everywhere if he screams about not going into Syria. But none of that applies when it comes to Iran. He's going to go, yeah, well, that was different. Because his reason for not going into Syria is what? You know, well, yeah, I don't see any major benefit. But if I did, we'd go kick their ass, you know? So I'm going, all right, I can see where this goes. All right, I got to get to my next guest. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you. See you, man.
All right, man. Bye.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear! No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hello! Oh, the second of first out, great Scott Horton gets kind of up the speed on it's they, them, those, again us. There are those just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave us alone. Why? What? You know, then we don't get to go to Syria? Damn it! You know, well, that was kind of our back door to get into Iran, but we're not going to stop. We're going to forget about Iran. We're going to have a meeting on going to Iran! And then today, they're meeting with Iran, and they'll say, hey, man, you know, what we got to do to be buds? You know, what we got to do to open up trade? What we got to do? What we got to do? What we got to do? Well, you got to give up. Okay, now what? Damn it! You know, we don't want... Damn it! You know, and what's the criteria for going... I mean, we got, you know, Afghanistan and Iraq are in freaking, you know, war boiling right now anyway. You know, we're going to eventually do the same thing the Soviets did, and so we're going to leave, you know, sooner or later, and it's going to be trying to leave our guys, and they'll do, you know, fighting, taking over, and doing in Egypt, and Tunisia, kind of, you know, what the hell? So, let's go ahead and, you know, look back at Syria a little bit. Who did a little bit of Syria stuff? There's a few articles over the past few weeks, kind of, you know, focusing on the Syria and seeing what's up. Sheldon Richmond, Future Freedom Foundation. So we need some Sheldon Richmond to help us out here. He's vice president of the Future of Freedom Foundation, editor of the Future Freedom Foundation's monthly journal, Future of Freedom. And for 15 years, he's editor of The Freeman, which was published by FFF.org. You know, and there's so much I just want to get right to Sheldon Richmond. Help me out with this Syria thing, Sheldon, man. I still don't have a complete understanding of, you know, are we done with that or what?
Quick correction. The Freeman, by the way, is published at FEE.org.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fee. Okay. All right. I apologize. Thank you. You know, This is my question. I keep asking everybody, and I want to try and get a beat on this thing. I'm going, all right, this is all about Iran. You know, Syria's Iran, Iran's Iran, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, and we go do it, it's Iran. Why Iran? What do we give a crap, two craps about Iran?
I agree. Syria is about Iran, and we can throw in Israel, Iran and Israel. That's what it's really all about. Syria's sort of a proxy. It's Iran's ally. Why does Iran matter? Well, you know, we have an old feud with Iran, which was initiated by the United States.
Okay, we. Who's we? You said we have a feud. I don't give a crap. Who is it?
Yeah, well, the United States government, of course. Right. I have nothing against the Iranian people, and the Iranian people have nothing against me. And they do distinguish. When people go over there and talk to them, they distinguish the government, the American government, from the American people, something the American people have trouble distinguishing. But foreigners usually don't have trouble distinguishing that. Look, in 1953, under the Eisenhower administration, the CIA went in and fomented uprisings. I mean, they had bagmen walking around with cash. One of them was Norman Schwarzkopf Sr., the father of the general who ran the war against Iraq in 1991, and also Kermit Roosevelt, who's I forget what he was, nephew or grandson or something of Teddy Roosevelt. They went over there with loads of cash and got street demonstrators to drive the elected left-of-center prime minister, Mohammad Mossadegh, out of power. And that enabled the Shah to reestablish power. He had been in power before and basically was driven out. He was a vicious, brutal dictator. And so the Shah comes back, and he runs a friendly government for U.S. interests, U.S. government interests, although he's one of the hawks on raising oil prices, but nevertheless, that was fine with the U.S. government because with that money, they could then buy lots of planes and stuff. He was also a close ally of Israel. He was a torturer. He had a secret police known as Sabak, which engaged in the worst kind of crimes that secret police typically do. And then it was too much for the Iranians, and in 1979, they drove him out of power while Jimmy Carter was there, who stood by the Shah for as long as he could, and then when he read the handwriting on the wall, I think he brought the Shah to the United States for, I don't know, he's dying of cancer or something. Anyway, you have this uprising, which within short order, the more extreme Islamists, or, you know, Shiite clerics, take control of the famous Ayatollah Khomeini. And,
okay, wait a minute. Before we get to that, I want to get to that. Go the same line for, you know, remember where you were. We're going to the Ayatollah after the Shah left. But I remember, God, this is late 70s. I graduated high school in 79. So I remember this going on and so on. There was something, you know, all of a sudden the Shah, he has cancer. Okay, he gets out, he's got cancer. But wasn't during the Carter administration, didn't they ship him out of the U.S. and they send him to South America or something? Or was he always here?
I'm afraid those details are not, at my fingertips. I don't exactly remember. I know the conservatives still criticize Carter for not standing firmly by the Shah, the same way Obama gets accused of not standing firmly by Mubarak. I have to laugh at this stuff. Why aren't we sticking with our dictators, darn it? That seems to be the neoconservative position.
Yeah, I was like, I am looking at a deeper understanding. Iran was our buddy because the Shah was our buddy, okay? And then he's not our butt, not there anymore, so they can't be our buddy, fill in the blank reason. What, when the Ayatollah and them came in, what were they representing? Just,
well, there were secularists and people that sort of Western-oriented people who were part of the movement to overthrow the Shah. But that revolution then came, you know, under the control of the clerics, the Ayatollahs. Khomeini was a very popular person, and so they get control of it, and then student militants take the U.S. embassy and hold hostages there for the year or so until Reagan is inaugurated. There have been reports that Reagan was doing sort of back channel negotiations with the Iranians, which he would do later on under the infamous Iran-Contra, incident. He then does some back channel. But anyway,
we don't want to free the hostages until Reagan takes off. And look what Reagan wins. Look what I did for you, yay! But we sure as hell don't want them freed, before the election. Yeah, blah 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 blah. But my thing is who wanted that? Why did they want that? So is it really simply a Bush thing?
Well, the American establishment always thought the Middle East was very important, ever since oil was discovered there. They wanted the governments to be friendly to U.S. interests. And over the years in different countries, the CIA and the U.S. government in general has been involved. It was involved in the coups that brought Saddam's party the Ba'athists to power in Iraq, and then Saddam himself. We've been meddling in Egypt. The U.S. government, the foreign policy establishment, and its so-called private sector interests, the military-industrial complex being a part of it, the oil industry being part of this, it's a big complex. They've been meddling in the Middle East, you know, for a very long time, ever since the British went into decline after World War I. And so we wanted the Shah there, but things are not under the control of the U.S. government, surprise, surprise. And so you have this religious fundamentalist backlash to the secularist Shah, who's also brutal, who put down opponents. And so it's understandable that you're going to get this extremist backlash. It's called blowback by the CIA. And so they take control. And of course, we weren't talking.
Okay, let's hold it right there. We'll get to it when we come back. We have a rare opportunity to have we have a really good day. Scott Horton and Sheldon Richman give us some history and hip us out, understand what's going on, because if we don't, we can't predict the future and what we need to do. And I tell you, the big thing is, I break with thee, and the mentality of all these guys got to rule the world thing. That's the first thing. Syria, I want to, as we get back into, I want to finish up with Iran, wherever you want to express yourself there, but the deal with Syria or on Syria. See, the thing is, it's kind of like not a deal with Syria. It's a deal on Syria. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm wondering, you know, what role are they playing in this? Is it just, you know, talk to our buddy Putin? He's the one with the destroyers and the nukes. I mean, you know, and what role Putin plays. And for Putin to come out and be the peace hero on this, Mr. KGB, is to laugh, you know? So our president seems weak, as if, you know, you only have strength when you're killing children or something.
No, right. No, I think the Russians have an interest in having the chemical weapons taken away from Assad, because they could easily fall into the hands of Russia's enemies, which would be the Islamists, like in Chechnya. So I think there's a co. I think the his interests are aligned with Obama's right now.
Yeah, but
I don't think it's a trick.
Oh no! I'm sure they want to get rid of the whatever, but that's just pissing the U.S. government off even more. They're going, damn it, we're still going to Iran, right? I mean, you know, I'm already hearing the talk right now. They're like, yeah, well, okay, we got that Syria thing taken care of, but we're not done with Iran. You know, it's Iran. And I'm on this bomb Iran thing. I'm like, why? I mean, what's the bit? There's somebody benefiting from something. Is it just perpetual war for perpetual peace? You know, or is it there's something else they want? Is it just competition with Saudi Arabia on the oil thing? Is it that simple? I mean, there's some motivation behind the scenes on this. And it seems like, you know, central banking keeps coming up all the time. It's like, okay, Saudi goes, it could be this simple. Seriously, Sheldon, it could be this simple. It'd go, well, if we don't take out Iran, China will make Iran their biggest energy partner, and they will supply China. Saudi Arabia has that competition for the energy and oil, and then if they do that, they're going to start having to sell off their treasuries, and they got a couple of trillion dollars of, and then China will do it. It's a perfect storm of Sauds and China, you know, repudiating the dollar by not having the debt thing anymore, and it's all because Iran even exists. See my point?
Yeah, I think you hit the key points. Iran is a rival to both Saudi Arabia and Israel. An independent Iran that's going its own way limits the freedom of action of Israel in various ways, because Israel wants to be the big power. It's got nukes, it's got chemical weapons, it's got all the...
Big power to what? I mean, you know, what is their motivation? I mean, I see they want to exist, but I'm... You know, so this is what I want to get into. When we come back, to have that, I mean, you say it or I say it. I mean, you know, I'm just like, look, this whole thing is Iran is a linchpin of the last domino to fall to repudiate the dollar. And I'm going, you know, Saddam Hussein, he goes, yeah, we're taking euros and gold. And they go, you know what? You're invaded. I mean, it's that simple. So it comes back to a central bank thing. You know, is that, you know, with the Israeli interest of blah, blah, blah?
I think it's more than just a dollar. I think you...
All right, here we go.
On FM Twitter account, so you can receive our tweets at twitter.lrn.fm. That's twitter.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear.
Which is why Sheldon Richman is on the show. It's not exactly clear. But I got my opinion, and it comes down to the simplicity of something, you know. And Sheldon, help me out here, man. Let's finish up what role Syria plays in this whole thing, because you would think that the Obama administration and the boys would claim, "Yay, victory! We didn't have war, and we got rid of their chemicals, and it's all done." But they're not. Why? What is the goal here? Help me out.
Well, I think the double goal here is to protect Saudi Arabia, because it sees Iran as its big rival, right? The Saudis are Sunnis. Iran is Shiite. That's a very old sectarian dispute.
That's an excuse
between two parts of Islam. And Israel has never wanted any country in the Middle East to be anywhere as strong as it is, because it wants to have complete freedom of action. In the Middle East, it is the nuclear monopolist. It has chemical weapons. It has not signed any of the conventions, or it's not a party to any of the conventions on either nukes or chemical weapons.
Yeah, and how does the world, view that and get away with that? Well, you signed this in non-proliferation of the blah, 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 blah. Well, Israel hadn't signed it. Yeah, but they get a get-out-of-jail waiver, free, do-what-the-hell-they-want card.
Well, but that's because the U.S. applies a double standard, and what other countries have to do, Israel doesn't have to do. Israel got its nukes illegally in ways that broke American law. There have been plenty of stories about stuff, parts and uranium being smuggled. That's an old story. It's been out there, but Israel doesn't even acknowledge that it has nukes, although everybody knows it. It's the biggest open secret in the world. They have submarine mounted nukes, so they have an overwhelming even second strike. Capability if anybody ever hit them. So it's ridiculous for them to think that Iran is an existential threat to Israel, because it isn't. And Iran is not building a nuclear weapon anyway. No matter how many times the media says it, they're not building it, because the U.S. intelligence and Israeli intelligence have said over and over again that they never even decided to build nukes. So it's about Israeli dominance in the region, and also about keeping Saudi Arabia's biggest rival under control. And ultimately, the goal, I believe, is regime change in Iran. I think the U.S.
They just had it.
Well, they had a regime change in Iraq, which made Iraq a country that was friendly to Iran. Now they have to go and have a regime change in Iran.
I thought they just had. Didn't Kerry meeting with the new guy today?
Well, they had an election. That's not what the U.S. wants. The U.S. doesn't want an election, even a fair election. Under the Islamic Republic,
you got to define regime change. When they say regime change, we want it changed to us.
Well, on behalf of the U.S. interests, they don't want the supreme leader, the Ayatollah Khamenei. They don't want that whole structure. They want people friendly to the West. Look, Iran. I don't believe Iran is any kind of natural antagonist to the United States. I think they could cut a deal and there'd be trade and everything would be fine between them. It's just that you're not going. The current government is not going to do Israel's bidding.
Israel is occupying
Palestine, is suppressing Palestinians, and the Iranian, the current regime in Iran, is not going to ever give it its blessing.
Okay, this is the one thing that help me out here. You'll understand my perspective. You know, as a young activist, in the late 80s, early 90s, I'm one of these revolutionary guys now, going up just looking for the truth. I'm like, come on, and it's not me. When you say things like, well, Israel's interest in Israel this and Israel that, it comes down to, like, the U.S. government here interest, protecting America and her interest. And I'm going, no, her, and who the hell is she? I'm going, it's not me. And it just the same, I look at the Israeli people, and there's a whole bunch of people, a whole campaign, we love Iran. A bunch of Iran people, we love Israel. I mean, it's, Palestine loves Israel, Syria loves Israel, Israel loves Syria and Palestine. I mean, it's people when they go like this, well, they and Israel and Iran and this and that and everything, and I'm going, it's all going to get overwhelmed with, I just communicate in real time with a Google translator with 13-year-old to 13-year-old all over the country, all over the world, and all that crap doesn't doesn't matter. And I'm just going, when they say, well, Israel's interest, you know, it's not the people's interest. It's something else. It's just like saying the neocons.
No, but that's why I said the government's interest, the ruling elite.
But who are they? What is their interest? Is it a banking thing? Is it, you know?
It has to do with oil. In the case of Israel, it has to do with, I believe, its territorial designs. They don't want to give up the hardliners. And I think most of the ruling elite, even the ones that aren't regarded hardliners, really don't want to give up the West Bank. They don't want to really concede anything to the Palestinians because it's believed to be land that's supposed to be in the hands of Israel, the Jewish state, and so all that's part of it. I think I think a lot of the rulers there, if they had their way, they would drive the Palestinians into Jordan and get rid of them.
Well, it's not for lack of trying. I mean,
I think they don't believe they could get away with that right now, but they've never defined their borders. Israel, when it declared independence in 1948. Didn't bother to tell anybody what its borders were of this new state it was declaring.
They go, we'll tell you where our borders are. It's where our tanks are. That's where our border is.
That was not an oversight. And so they don't want anything to limit their freedom of action. I mean, they don't know. Look, they're pragmatists. They'll take advantage of situations as they arise.
They'll create them.
And they don't know exactly what's going to arise because not everything is under their control. They know that. But they don't want anything to foreclose options. And having an Iran there that is not going to be friendly to territorial expansionism, and especially don't forget Iran is an ally of Hezbollah. And Hezbollah arose only to protect the Lebanese in southern Lebanon from Israeli incursions. Israel was treating that border, treating southern Lebanon as if it was own territory. It crossed any time it wanted and occupied it for many years. And Hezbollah, just his fear of Hezbollah, only arose to protect the Lebanese in the south because the central government of Lebanon was powerless to do it.
Okay, let me go ahead and make kind of, you know, a rant here. And when we come back from the next segment, because we're right getting up to the break here, you can comment and help me out on this. This is my point. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this, you know, since a kid, I see the headline back and forth. The Soviets go into Afghanistan, get their butts kicked. You have the Shah, you know, repudiated, and they go in the, you know, anytime you threaten to use anything but the dollar, you go into, you know, euro or gold or anything else, so you get invaded. You know, then you have Iran saying, hey, well, we got oil. Anybody got gold? India goes, yeah, we do. Hundreds of millions worth. We'll take it. And China going, yeah, you know, we need, you know, a stable energy partner. And Russia, yeah, we, you know, Iran, yeah, we'd be all kinds of buddies. And then who sees that as competition, and they don't get their cut? Well, has something to do with Saudi interest. Saudi's like, hey, if we're forced to be on the petrodollar here and you're not doing it and you're taking customers away, and kind of why we need to get regime change or open up the market, or we don't have a hegemony on the, you know, total domination of every aspect of freaking life, then what do we do? Well, you know, Israelis' interest and Saudis kind of overlap a little bit, or they don't. Then you got Osama bin Laden fighting for jihad in Afghanistan and comes back to the South and find out the same problem is there with, and kind of now it's quit it. And I'm going, all right, so where does the actual focus of all this come down to is the fact that I think Iran represents an out. Iran represents an alternative to this hegemonic domination of the Western central banking. We rule kind of all roads run, you know, through us. And I'm going, okay, so Iran becomes a target, not just because of a physical threat, it's a philosophical threat.
This your family.
In my opinion. Okay, so when we come back, you know, I want you to respond to that. Is, you know, Iran really a philosophical threat? It's a crack in the dam of everything. And I can see that is going to, and that's how they perceive it. But I see next generation, they're just like, you know, yeah, that's all very interesting, but we just got more solar panels and bite me. You know, and I see this. Everybody's always fighting the last war, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't see that they see, and they think that they can control it. They'll go, yeah, we're going to have to shut down the internet. And I'm going, yeah, go ahead. That's why we're such, you know, really big on Spaceship One and private space travel. And we just put up our own freaking satellites. Hell, the size of a freaking iPhone. You do a dozen of them up and boom, you replaced it and suck it, you know? So I don't understand what they're so stupid evil. I mean, they're just stupid. Can we put it in that category? They're just they, them, those are just stupid.
I don't think it's stupidity. I think they're acting on the basis of their interests, and they I have no reason to think they don't know what their interests are. I don't think it's
I don't think they understand pursuing their interest will cause them to lose all of their influence. I don't think that they see that eventuality. I don't think they see it as an option. They go, no, of course, we got bigger guns.
Well, I have a feeling they think it's the lesser risk, that if they don't do anything, they'll really lose their interest.
So amen.
They're taking what is the least bad alternative, I'm sure.
All right. So that's what, when we come back, that's what I want to address. You know, this is Iran represents what? It's not so much. Hell, North Dakota probably, you know, threatens Saudi Arabian oil, you know, more than anything else. What are they going to do? Invade there? You know, they do legislatively, you know, and pipeline crap and, you know, blah, 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 blah. This is, I'm telling you, man, I see it as the self-sustainability and autonomy of the individual. As technology comes in and does more, and all of a sudden I got my energy thing, I'm growing my own food thing, I don't need them thing, I'm done. You know, once that happens, all this just falls away. I don't got to beat them. What do I want to take over Washington for so I can be in charge of the, you know, the castle in Washington? Yay. I don't give a crap about them. You know, they go, ooh, well, you know, immigration, we got to shut down the borders because there may be these guys come in and they'll go and, you know, attack Washington and whatever. I'm like, seriously? Do they need a map? I don't care. I really don't care. And this is, they got to make you care. And I'm going, they're losing the reasons for us to care. You know, Syria threatens something. And it's not even us. It's like, well,
that's the role that terrorism plays in it. The way they try to get people to care is to say, this is a direct threat to you. And they'll use this Kenya incident. I've seen it on the media already. Do we have to be worried that our malls are now going to be targeted by Al-Shabaab, which is linked to Al-Qaeda? We better care. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, all more reason we get to be armed.
All the more reason to disengage from the Middle East, too.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, there's so many levels. This kind of, I go, yeah, and, you know, the store clerk at the Gap, you know, shot three of them dead and done. You don't have a movie. I mean, you know, whatever, you know. Yeah. The panic room, bang, well, no movie. I mean, you know, it's just, they got to have a movie. You know, they got to have a movie. That's a good way to bring it back. Got to have a movie.
I think that's the role that the war on terrorism plays. It's the way to link you and me, just regular Americans, to the Middle East to say, you better care about this. This is going to be happening to you otherwise, which, of course, is the total opposite of the truth.
All right, here we go.
Listen to LRN.FM on any phone, anytime, 213-493-0309. That's 213-493-0309.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
The Eastern world, it is exploding. Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war. What's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
No, I don't. I think we're, you know, I mean, you know, people are coming to the realization that, you know, it's not us versus them over there. It's us versus, bad guys right here. They're stupid evil. Stupid. Megan from Roberts, I remember she up at Pork Fest 10, she'd go, they're stupid evil. I'm like, thank you. You made it so much clearer. But, you know, Sheldon's like, they're not stupid. They're acting in what they perceive to be their best interest. My contention is that their best interest and how they're pursuing it is that they don't see the ramifications, but they don't care. You know, Sheldon's like, hey, man. You know, they know that if they don't do anything, they're going to lose their influence and ability to have power over blah, blah, blah. So they're doing exactly what they need to maintain. Just keep on keeping on. So I'm like going to, you got to, what they want, I give you an example. This is what it's like. You have a lot of these movies, and it starts with the guy breaks into the house, and you know Jodie Foster runs into the panic room, and it's all, you got a big movie. You know, it's all about they aggressed and you try and defend and kind of, you know, but if, you know, they go into the mall, you know, we're going to get in Kenya, you're going to have a big movie about, you know, one guy is going to save everybody and, you know, it comes down to whatever. But the thing is that what if you had someone that just didn't play? You know, what if someone had a gun at the bang, you know, no movie. You go to the mall and the Gap clerk, you know, take me a bang, no movie. You know, what happens when the people are just like, I don't care about your ward, and you vote this guy out, or you ignore government, or you're not, you don't know, movie. They got to have a movie. They got to have terrorist attacks and something, and chemical weapons, and we're all going to die. You know, we're in direct threat of, oh my goodness. We're not. But they have to create it. There has to be a false flag. There has to be a rallying cry up. There has to be. And this chemical weapon and them doing the town halls and them going around the country and John McCain going up there and getting an earful from the people, by the way. But they're going to, well, if you just don't care about little children being gassed in Syria, well, I just don't know what to say. We need to go invade and kill and die and everything because of the children. And I'm going, right. So this chemical weapon thing is going, how is that used, Shelton? Is it still being used? Is that over and we're just going straight to Iran, or they still got some dealings going on with Syria?
Well, this Russian offer is going ahead, and there's evidence that this is not the result of a slip by John Kerry, but rather something that Putin and Obama had been discussing possibly for months. So it wasn't the way it was represented. I think this will go ahead. I think Russia would like to see the chemical weapons taken away from Assad and put in some, neutral holding tank or destroyed, because he doesn't want them to fall in the hands of Islamists who may then send them to the Chechens. There's been a lot of trouble between Chechnya and Russia with a lot of violence from both sides. So I think Putin is actually sincere about this. Assad seems to be going along. He made the report he was supposed to make. I think Obama was very grateful that he had this way to climb down. I think he didn't really want to go to war against Syria, especially when the people were against it. By the way, I made this point over and over again. It's not the Constitution that prevented this war. Constitutions can't prevent wars. What prevented this war were the American people. So we can be thankful for that, and therefore Congress was too scared to vote for it. And then, so I think Obama was glad to have a way to climb down. So let's hope it continues on, because attacking Syria would be very, very bad. But like I said, the road to Iran goes through Damascus, and so the ultimate target here is Damascus, is Iran, and the U.S. government is acting on behalf of both Saudi Arabia and Qatar and the United Arab.
No, literally, it goes through
and
Damascus
Israel.
No, I mean literally, it goes through Damascus. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a Mediterranean. Got to have a landing area there somewhere. Damascus is, you know, near the border or on the border, and I mean on the ocean right there. I mean, it's I'm not sure it's right on the ocean, but it's very close, isn't it?
I have to double check the map. The point is, the U.S. government interests, the ruling elite, and the people they work for never liked unaligned nations. Okay, they don't like the idea of unaligned nations. Remember, George W. Bush said, "If you're not with us, you're against us." That's how they want to see it. So Iran cannot just be allowed to be independent, going its own way, and being an influential power in the Middle East, which is it's always going to be. It's a big country with a big population. And there's no way it's going to be insignificant. And yet the U.S. Demands that it be friendly to the U.S. and have a friendly regime. And I think that's what ultimately this is all what it's all about. It's both for the U.S. government interests, economic and political interests, but also Israel and Saudi Arabia.
Okay, I'm looking at, I got the map up for those on video now. Damascus is about 20 miles from the ocean on a main highway there. And you got Beirut, you know, is kind of, you know, that will play in. But the actual Syria port is, I guess, you know, what country is Haifa in? I mean, is that Syria? It's right on the border there. So anyway, you got Sour in the Sidon district and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, this, you got Beirut, Damascus, Haifa, all these are like, you know, 20 miles from each other. And this, if you're going to go to Iran, you're going to want big ships to go in somewhere that's kind of safer, and we can land war and kind of build up on borders and all that kind of stuff. They're literally going to go through Damascus. I mean,
we always have warships in the Persian Gulf. We have, troops around Iran. I've seen this map on the internet many times, of a map of Iran with red dots for all the military installations surrounding Iran. And of course, the legend of the map says, how dare that Iran locate its country so close to American military installations?
Right. Okay, let me go ahead and I'll put that up here, see if I can find it. Iran and military bases surround. List of Iranian Air Force, Armed Forces category, kind of news, military bases. See, the thing is that what we're looking at is there is a very, yeah, here we go. Sure enough, now just like you said, we have a whole bunch of bases around Iran. This was always about Iran. And you look at this and you go, oh my goodness, what the heck is going on? The reason is what? Why do we give, is it just is it philosophically representing something? It's just like this big giant chunk of, how many people? God, it's like 120 million, 80 million at least in Iran. And you look at that and you go, why would we want to poke that bear?
Well, look, they have oil, and so the economy is still oil-oriented. They have a lot of oil. It's not. I think it's more concrete than philosophical. That sounds a little too abstract to me. They don't like non-alignment. They reinterpret non-alignment as being against us, quote us, and so they can't tolerate that. Look, this is an old story. You go back to Vietnam. They didn't want Vietnam to be unaligned, and that's why we had that tragic war there, because they couldn't tolerate that. In South America.
I get this all the time. Who's they? I go, they, them, those. One won't leave us alone.
There's a ruling elite in any country. And so the policymakers here, plus the people who are in the nominal private sector, who, give the money to, give contributions to the government, so the government will do its bidding. There are a lot of economic interests that are dependent on current government policy. And the whole, what's known as the military-industrial complex, the thing that Eisenhower warned about. And so those are the people calling the shots and who determine U.S. policy, determine what's in, quote, our interest and what's not in our interest. I totally agree with you. This is not the people's interest we're talking about. It's not yours and my interest. It's the policymakers and the people they're acting on behalf of.
Okay, when we come back in the next segment, I tell you what I want to talk about is what is in our interest. I mean, it's getting to the point to where it's an anarchist thing. I mean, it's a leave me aloneist, I don't need you representing kind of 10th Amendment state, forget the freaking entire agreement that doesn't represent me, I'm done next, I'm not paying taxes, we'll rebel against here. I mean, it's like, who we link arms with. And it's just, I don't know anything other than the next generation, the ones that have all this debt dumped on them, all this obligation. Now you gotta go fight some more. How about we all just go, no, just say no. Well, I don't know. Can you say no? Are you allowed to say no? And who do you say no to?
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
Okay, let's go ahead and take a couple of notes of some of the stuff you want to make sure that you get in the last segment here.
Okay.
Go.
Let's see. I'm trying to think what you were saying as you closed that second. There was something there.
Yeah, it's us. We've got to repudiate this whole freaking thing.
Well, you're right. I agree with what you're getting at. There's a conflict of interest between the U.S. government's interests, and of course, it's outside the clients or agents. And our interests. There's a conflict of interest between the government and the people.
But we keep empowering them. How do we unpower them?
Now you're asking me the libertarian strategy. If I knew that, I would have bottled it and become rich a long time ago. I don't know. We got to speak out. You have a radio show. I write. We need to get people. We need to change people's minds, ultimately.
Change people's minds. See, this is the point that I give you an example. This last Wednesday was the beginning of the season of an economic discussion group, and there's a lot of the Cato Goldwater Republican type, we got to go, and Ron Paul's an outlier and crazy, and all of a sudden, and now they're like, well, Rand's not so bad, because Iran will go, you know, bomb Iran when appropriate and this and that, whatever. And the other side of the group is starting to become more and more and more anarchist. And these guys, they see that as the battle. It's not, you know, the bad guys out there that they keep trying to whip up, that we got to all come together and collective and beat the Democrats and get rid of Obama so we can go whip ass or not whip ass, whatever. They just want their turn at the ring and to be in charge. And what they really see as the opposition is the people just not giving a shit. They're going, wait, you got to give a shit. Well, I don't want to give a shit. You guys are full of crap anyway. And they go, yeah, but. And I'm going, screw your butt. Okay? That's the battle. All right, here we go.
You can interact with other LRN listeners in our message board at forum.lrn.fm. That's forum.lrn.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
What they're fighting for is understanding, true justice, American way, all that kind of stuff. I tell you, when I go up against and talk to and about, and we got it, and false flagging, and whatever excuse we got to have, and chemical weapon, little children, and go whip ass, whatever their BS excuse is, and double standards, and conflicts, and inconsistency, all that, it doesn't matter. It's always about we. We're wrapping around American flag and doing and pledging and saluting and big giant football field size American flags with F-16s, you know, flying over and Zeke Heil and I pledge leading America. Okay? And they do what? We got to come together to go kick somebody's ass because it's our team and whatever. What if I'm on team, leave me alone? What if I'm on team, you know, let's not kill people? What if I'm on team that thou shalt, you know, not do anything in my name against others that because they didn't do anything, I don't care? What if I just freaking don't care? What if I break with thee, I break with thee, you know, call it your 10th Amendment thing, sovereign of the state, sovereign of the city, sovereign of the freaking individual, oh my goodness, what the promise was in the Declaration. This whole thing comes down to us being part of them, so in our name, they can go whip somebody's ass for whatever benefit they got. We pull our support. No, I don't support you. Well, you got it. No, I don't. Yeah, you do. No, I don't. Yeah, you do. Well, you got to sign this and oath and and we've gone through this before. You know, these oath pledges. We even heard it in, what was the 08 campaign? Well, you take a pledge to support the yada, 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 yada. Yeah, the closest they get is the Constitution, a document, not a person, not a country, not a flag, the Constitution. Well, that changes and means whatever the hell they want anyway. That is the battle. They want us on their side. They need to create a side. And let me tell you whose side is building, rising up across this entire world is Generation Next. And they're saying no. Then what? What happens when you have an entire generation across the planet saying, and I don't care if they're speaking Mandarin, Farsi, Arabic, English, French, Spanish, German, Polish, they say no. Then what? I don't know. Let's ask Sheldon Richmond. What do you think happens then?
Hello. I'm with you.
Go. What do you think happens then? They just say no. We're done. We're next. Then what? Is that really the battle? You know, some other battle you got? What's the battle?
What we have to do is get people to question the whole structure, not any particular policy. I think what happened with Iran is very instructive. Like I said, it's not the Constitution that stopped that war, and let's hope it won't come back, but it's the people that stopped it. You know, Obama and an awful lot of people who don't like him think the Constitution lets him attack Syria without a congressional declaration of war. So they all think the Constitution is on their side, and yet the war was stopped anyway. And who stopped it? The people stopped it, which means because the people didn't want that war. They're war-weary. They're not war-weary. They're war-weary.
Okay, I'll tell you what, in my opinion, what happened is that the people rose up. It was so clear that if they continued, if they went to Syria, there would have been a revolution between the ears. They may not have taken any action. There may not have been, you know, like taken to the streets so they can get wrapped up in the orange, you know, fence netting and processed through to whatever. They would have made the break finally in their head that we're under occupation in this country as much as any but other third world dictatorship is. And once the people made that realization that we are occupied, we have no voice, we have no power, we have, and they're just going to do whatever the hell they want anyway, which they may still do and demonstrate with Iran or some new false flag or a mall gets whatever the heck in Michigan. I'm going, when they start to come, the people come to that realization, their power is over. It's done. And it's so close right now, it's just waiting for something to happen. Once they start to realize that, they're going, maybe we better back off. We'll get Iran another way. So I don't think they're done. It's not over.
I don't think it's over. That's why we have to... We have to convince people that there's a broader philosophy here about the state, that it's not just a particular thing like intervention in the Middle East. We got to get them to broaden their analysis so it's more radical, so they won't let the government get away with other stuff or what you say is right. I don't believe they've given up. Now, I think the ruling elite's going to use the Kenya massacre, the terrible thing to happen. They're going to use it to try to scare people all over again and say, and maybe even use it to justify eventual attack on Syria, saying, look, we're going after the very kind of people who did that in Kenya. But you have to understand, it was U.S. intervention in Somalia that enabled this al-Shabaab to control so much of the country. It had no shot of controlling any bit of the country until the U.S. Got into it and it urged surrounding countries to invade Kenya and to invade Somalia. Kenya was one of the countries that invaded Somalia under U.S. urging. So this is why al-Shabaab is now striking back. We created this threat. Well, that's what when I say we, you know what I mean, the U.S. government. But the U.S. government is constantly creating threats, and they're going to use it to try to scare us in order to get full support for its policy in the Middle East and around the world. And we have to resist that. We have to teach people why they should resist it and how to resist it.
You know, they're going to have hundreds of people, you know, eventually, and this comes out, I think it's easily in the three digits, people are killed at this mall. And then the only people, you have this special forces British soldier goes in and out a dozen times saving people, and oh my goodness, he brings a gun. And there are guns that, you know, are going to take out the bad guys by good guys with guns. And then it's going to become, oh, we kind of got to get rid of the guns and everything. And all of a sudden we're finding out that an armed citizenry and the people here, oh, well, you don't have a movie, you don't get a show, you don't get to have a whatever, because in that mall somebody had a gun, took out the guy gun, just like they did at, what was it, Seattle or Oregon or whatever. Same thing, you know, guy, bang. Done, shows it, shoots himself. He's like, guy, oh, he's coming at me with a gun. I kill him. Done. So what happens? All of a sudden, they're going to have more and more and more and more and more evidence that individuals taking care of themselves and defending their own life and liberty. That is what, it's a philosophical war. And I can see this has always been a philosophical war. And if we don't approach it that way and we keep arguing over, you know, like whether they got chemical weapons or not, then I got, you know, John McCain, which I ran against in 04, by the way. I got John McCain coming out there saying, well, if you don't care about little gas children, then you're not human enough, because we got to go out and lay waste and kick ass and kill people and die because I say so in the best interest of America and her interest, whatever the hell that is. So I'm going, this is a much simpler, and which is why Future Freedom Foundation, Jacob Hornberger, and yourself has had such an impact early on in my activism in the early 90s with what you were doing. You were the first organized group representing the kind of the freedom philosophy out there as a philosophical war. And that's why, you know, I have you and Jacob and, you know, and Bovard and all these guys coming out, you know, from back in the day with different articles and books and what was published in your material and so on. That was a foundation of understanding for me as a young activist what this really was about. So I'm glad you're there.
Well, thank you. I'm very nice to hear that, and I'll pass that along to Jacob. He'll be glad to hear that, too. This is what we have to do. We have to teach. I mean, I don't know any other way to do it. It's an old story, but how do you pull back, you know, rein government in and get it down to whatever level you think it should be? It's got to be ultimately education. I mean, I don't know of any other way to do it.
You lower the level in your head. Government is just a manifestation of whatever we conjure up in our head and the fear that we have that we need some structure to, you know, alleviate our pain of blah, 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 blah. It's in our head. It's not them. It's us. And I'm so sick of even, you know, people claiming how libertarian they are that come out. Well, we got to, you know, in the best interest of and kind of have. And I'm going, then you're not libertarian. What's the difference between an anarchist and a libertarian? About two or three election cycles. If you're paying attention, that's the difference.
Well, look, I agree that too many people, even who think they're for small government, you know, don't want their own personal program cut. That's true. People say, yeah, cut spending. And then when you go down a list and say, okay, should we cut any of these? People say, oh, no, don't cut any of those. So that's why we have to keep on doing what we're doing. Keep on keeping on. Teaching the blessings of liberty, the merits, the benefits of liberty, and the moral propriety of liberty.
Before we run out of time, I want to ask you this question. How have you seen the trends, you know, and the people in this for understanding what you guys have been advocating for decades? You know, help me out here. What do you see coming?
Well, I think, you know, and I'm not going to say FFF deserves all the credit for it. I think we've done our bit. Ron Paul has done a lot. Look at all the young people who were so motivated by his message of peace, ending the Fed, respect for civil liberties, against government spying. There are some trends going on. We need to encourage them.
And Future of Freedom Foundation, FFF.org, has been around and helped create a foundation and education and a group of people. The activist machine was already there. When Dr. Paul started, you know, how do you think here out of Phoenix we knew what was going to happen with the Lovevolution? How do you think we knew? Because the Future of Freedom Foundation and a very few others were there that already created the philosophical foundation, the understanding of what the battle was really about. And if you get the Lovevolution between the ears, you can change the world. It already has. We're in the middle of it. History is being made before your eyes.
If you're a man, as the years go by.
And there we go.
Okay, we're good.
Thank you. Donna will send you the links to all this and MPs and videos and all that kind of stuff in a few hours, and you can do what you want with it. But this is, we're not done with this yet. I can see this. They're wanting us to feel, oh, take a breath. They're just raising the hammer, and they're going to come down and pound you again.
Well, you could be right. You got to watch it closely.
Thanks for spending time with us, Sheldon.
Okay, Aaron, thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
John Bush here with your Liberty Beat for Monday, September 23rd, 2013. Gold opened today at $1,324, silver at $21.75, and Bitcoin is trading at $122. Support for the Liberty Beat comes from Kamikaze Productions, the production house bringing you Sovereign Living the Show, specializing in high-quality audio recording and video production for the Liberty Movement. Online at kamikaze.tv. And from Central Texas Gunworks, CHL courses, self-defense training, and firearms sales online at centraltexasgunworks.com. And now the news. On Friday, the Food and Drug Administration announced new rules that will require most new medical devices sold in the United States to possess a unique tracking code. The code will identify the device's make, manufacture date, and lot number. The tracking codes will be stored in a public database that is designed to help regulators and doctors catch problems with implants. Bolivian President Evo Morales has announced that his country will file a lawsuit in solidarity with Venezuela against the United States for crimes against humanity. This latest announcement comes after Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro's plane was denied entry into Puerto Rican airspace. Morales stated that his country will not stand for intimidation tactics used by the U.S., specifically referring to his presidential jet being blocked from entering U.S. airspace back in July over fears that whistleblower Edward Snowden was aboard. Morales also called an emergency meeting of the community of Latin American and Caribbean states. The German hacker team Chaos Computer Club released a video detailing how they successfully hacked the biometric fingerprint security feature of Apple's iPhone 5. The team took a photograph from a glass surface and then created a fake finger that could unlock the new device. The team said they demonstrated this to emphasize that biometric fingerprint scans are no less secure than traditional password protection. Support for the Liberty Beat comes from Brave New Books. For the entire month of September, 5% of the proceeds go to the Rethink 9/11 campaign. Online at BraveNewBookstore.com or in Austin at 1904 Guadalupe Street. And from Cabo Bob's, the first high fructose corn syrup free quick serve restaurant in the country. Serving Baja California style burritos and non-GMO corn tortillas and chips. In Austin at 500 East Ben White Boulevard or online at CaboBob's.com. You're listening to The Liberty Beat for Monday, September 23rd, 2013. Be sure to check out the stories online at TheLibertyBeat.com. Liberty activist and sovereign living advocate Catherine Bleich is organizing a mail-to-jail party this Thursday from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Brave New Books in Austin, Texas. The event will focus on sending letters in support to Adam Kokesh, Schaefer Cox, Rich Paul, Chelsea Manning, and other political prisoners, as well as detailing their activism and stories. All this week, the Liberty Beat will be covering the stories of these brave freedom fighters, as well as providing you with mailing addresses so you can reach out and show your support. Today we highlight the case of Rich Paul, a liberty and cannabis activist currently in a cage for the victimless crime of selling marijuana. Rich gained nationwide notoriety after organizing several 420 smokeout events at the Central Square in Keene, New Hampshire. The 420 rallies involved marijuana enthusiasts smoking cannabis publicly and ultimately led to a stand down by the Keene police. Around this time, the New Hampshire Liberty Movement fell under the scrutiny of FBI agent Philip Christina. Agent Christina worked with an informant who would later purchase marijuana from Rich. Rich was arrested, and before being booked, he was taken to a back room at the Keene police station where Agent Christina offered to make his charges go away if he agreed to wear a wire at the Keene Activist Center. Naturally, Rich said no. Originally, Rich was facing up to 81 years in prison, and after refusing a plea deal which would have eliminated jail time, Rich was found guilty of selling marijuana and sentenced to 1 year in jail. Rich is quoted as saying, "Somebody had to stand up and say this is wrong, and I thought I might well be that guy." Rich is currently working to appeal his case to the New Hampshire Supreme Court on the grounds that the judge misled the jury about the doctrine of jury nullification, a key component of Rich's defense. Rich can be mailed at Rich Paul, courtesy of Cheshire County DOC, 825 Marlborough Road, Keene, New Hampshire, 03431. More information can be found at thelibertybeat.com.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear, man, if that isn't represented by Mr. Matthew Papke running for Tempe City Council. And it's more than, you know, a candidate running, blah, 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 don't care. Okay? Here we have American, and, you know, the true sense American, you know, goes off in 98, you know, in the Marines. You know, he served his country, his long, you know, tradition, his family, kind of, you know, what, you know, here we go. I'm a Marine. I take this stuff seriously. They said I do. And you come back and you go, then you start finding out stuff. You get involved. You get busy. You start getting, all revolutionary-ized and Ron Paul said. And you get campaign for liberty and students for this and running precinct committee and Republican and kind of and you being cool. And you party with a party wife. And you got the, you know, you got the skills. And you have the philosophy. Oh, and by the way, you're looking cool in your dreadlocks. Nice big chest. I mean, the perfect candidate on every level that has as a foundation the philosophy of leave me aloneism. And what's the campaign slogan? What's his side? What does it say? What's it say? Free you, free me, free Tempe. Oh, you just know that's got to piss off just the right people, you know. Now, what happened? Matt Papke had it been building up. He's going to do this. Wasn't a big secret. The election's over a year from now. It's next November in 14. So he's like, yeah, I know I'm going to do it. Let's not waste time. Let's get to it. Has a meeting. What happens? Matt, how many people showed up? Tell us all about your first initial campaign getting going.
Yeah, good morning, Ernie. It's been awesome, man. Thanks for having me on. But our first, official campaign kickoff was in August. And, you know, we filled the room. We rented a room at a restaurant, you know, good sized room. And we filled it and we had standing room in the hallways. And I mean, it was amazing. Like you never know what's going to happen. You know, you just kind of put your best foot forward and, and have a good message.
Give me numbers. I mean, it was at least triple digits. Was it, you know, 200, 300?
No. The first event, it's probably 75.
Good enough at a restaurant. They're glad you came.
They're super glad we came. And, you know, it was only about a week's notice, you know, 2 weeks notice. And you got to think, like, for a campaign kickoff a year and some change ahead of the actual election, it's pretty significant. You know, I talked to some people that worked with Sal DeCiccio's campaign. And a
city councilman in Phoenix.
Yeah, and some of the events he had, you know, he had a lot of support, but he'd only get, you know, 110 people.
And they were firemen and city employees. Okay, so when you had the activists come together, have you had other meetings, you know, for your campaign? You know, and how much money have you raised? You got a nice little chunk get going? What?
Yeah, so we're not getting the specific details about what we've raised. The financial reports will be out, and then we can see what. We don't want to tip our hats. I can tell you, we've done very well. We've exceeded, you know, all of our preliminary targets, and you know we're just really excited. Event wise, you know, Ernie, I've been speaking anywhere from 2 to 4 times a week at different locations.
Wow.
I mean, I'll meet with anybody. Yeah. You know, we did 2 events this weekend, and we've got, you know, as far as fundraisers go, a big fundraiser. And I want all of your listeners to go to this if they can. You know who Jordan Page is, right?
Yep.
All right, well, Mr. Jordan Page is going to be coming out October the 18th, which is a Friday. He's going to do a fundraiser for my campaign.
Very cool.
And I am just freaking blown away by this. I mean, this guy is, you know, like a legend to me. So he's going to be coming out. If everybody goes to freetempe.com, that's freetempe.com, clicks on events, and it's Freedom Under the Stars. You can find information about the Jordan Page fundraiser. You can get your tickets right now. We have a limited number of tickets because we want to keep it into a small audience. So I would encourage anybody who's a fan of Jordan Page or just a fan of, you know, of liberty and music,
and Matt Papke.
Do that right now.
Matt Papke, I'm a fan. Okay. So this is, we're all over this Jordan Page coming thing. We're going to have some fun. We're going to promote and push and kind of get me goodies. You know, I need, Donna, do you have the links to the event and so on? You have it up on Free Tempe? You got the event information there?
Yeah, if they go to freetempe.com, you can click on events.
Thing too. So Donna's going to put it up as his own headline, included in the show, and kind of rock and roll and whatnot. Well, you know, we're going to help, you know, Jordan's going to come stay with us. You know, we're going to try and keep all the costs down there, and then Saturday we'll hang and have some fun that weekend too. But I tell you, it's all going to be about the focus of the party and go down on Friday. You know, on you're doing it on Tempe Town Lake, right?
No, we got a couple places in North Tempe, I mean, next to Tempe Town Lake.
Okay, so it's near this.
Yeah, we actually wanted to do it outside at Kiwanis Park. But, man, I got to tell you, the hoops you got to jump through blew my mind away. I had no idea. I'm like, this is a park. I paid for this park.
Oh, no. If you had, let me tell you what's changed. I mean, I've been doing this activist thing for a long time. Let me tell you what's changed.
Right.
They go, hey, man, they're like, you know, having successful kind of using on the government supply. They're not supposed to be able to do that. We only want for when we want to do it. You have to have $1 million liability insurance policy.
Right.
You have to have a LLC corporation deal. Somebody signed for the whatever and jump through these hoops and people get back to you and takes months and years and reserve and kind of a little. So you don't do it. That is it. You know, they don't want you doing it. So I'm just going, okay. Oh, yeah. And you have to hire your own security and pay overtime on policemen to stand there, and only they can do it.
Right.
So I'm going, okay. So it's like that. Government is so it's what do you represent coming in as a city councilman for Tempe? They have to have, you know, respect for the support that you have and the coalitions and the different people that you represent. Are they worried? Are you getting feedback?
Well, yeah, I guess if you're getting attacked, they must be a little bit concerned, right?
They're attacking you?
Nothing big. I'm not, you know, trying to make a mountain out of a molehill, but just little, you know, things on Twitter and, you know, and Facebook talking about me a little bit.
Heck, you pay them to do that. You know, and then you got that. It's just like what happened with Ron Paul. They start trying to play this troll crap, and the army just goes, "You really? You seriously? You want to play this game? Okay, let's rock."
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, you can't beat the message. I mean, this is a city that for the last 5 years has raised its property tax rate. For the last 5 years has run a deficit. And for some reason, I have no idea what this reason is or anything, they think it's okay to tax food and food groceries. It's food meant for home consumption. That's, the code actually says food meant for home consumption. I don't know what the hell they're thinking, to be honest with you. But it's indefensible, and we're bringing things to light. And, yeah, they're absolutely getting a little bit nervous. You bet. These are incumbents.
Well, I mean, it's not just, you know, the incumbents, because you're running in, it's not in that large, it's a district thing, right?
No, Tempe is at large.
Well, dang it, man. Well, fortunately, Tempe is not a very large geography. It's right in the middle of a bunch of, it's where Arizona State University is. You have to the south, like Chandler and Gilbert, and to the west, you have Phoenix, and to the east, you got Mesa, and to the north, you got Scottsdale. So you're right in the center hub of certainly the young entertainment. We love that good-looking young Marine with, you know, freaking the dreadlocks. And that freedom message. I mean, I don't even know where they start. You know, what are they going to do? They'll do something stupid like, well, we got to have a black female with the rhetoric in the name of, and you know, kind of something. They think in shallow terms like that on appearance and kind of cold. They don't understand that they're going up against a philosophy. And right. How supportive, when you go and you talk to these different groups, I know you're real involved in, the growers and the permaculture and the urban farming and, you know, the natural health Birkenstock left-leaning progressive kind of whatever, that they're going, yeah, what freaking Matt said. Well, I tell you what Matt said. Matt said, free you, free me, free Tempe. And that is going, oh, something's going to happen. There's another shoe to drop. They can't let this go all unchallenged. And what might they challenge? Matt Papke's character. He's got too many people on his side.
This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty in Arizona. Now more than ever, we have to seek out good investments to help secure our future. The real estate market across the country today seems to have recovered. Inventories are low, housing prices have gone up over the past year, and money is available to lend. But you must be careful to read between the lines of what the mainstream news is reporting. There is a shadow inventory, and the market is manipulated by a multiple number of factors. And we will need to anticipate this flux and prepare for the next market downturn in housing. There are many communities across the country today that have a growing mindset of preparing to ride out the financial storm. And Arizona is one of those places. If you are interested in moving to the desert southwest, where we have 3 to 4 growing seasons a year, and the sun is readily available for anything solar, I will be here to help you when that time comes. Feel free to use my webpage at donnahancock.com to search for Arizona properties that are of interest to you. And please, feel free to call me at 602-828-1819 to discuss options for your move to Arizona.
Hey, Matt, did you see anything about the Freedom Summit yet?
No, sir.
Okay, we're going to be pushed. Alma's already starting to do little whatever the hell she's doing, but it's we're going to turn it on today. I got all the speaking kind of done and everything. Now, what the thing is, I'm doing kind of a post-summit deal. Let's see, you got 2 minutes. Okay, real quick. This is what happens. When we do the summit, we have a pre-summit. The pre-summit is Friday night. It's a $25 thing, and we'll do kind of a, you know, it's a mixer, and everybody gets together, and we get everything ready, and make sure all the microphones work and the video and blah, 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 and it's not really organized, and you get like an hour of free margaritas and some appetizer and $25, and we chillin'. The summit starts on Saturday. We go Saturday, we have continental breakfast, we have the catered lunches, I mean the catered morning breaks, afternoon breaks, and you got lunch on your own, then the dinner Saturday night. The whole package is like $350, or you can go $75 just for the dinner thing on Saturday. Then Sunday, we have up till no later than 2, 3, or something like that. Now, what I'm doing is I'm going to have another optional package that'll be $35 just for Sunday afternoon, because we always contract to have the conference room, the ballroom, until 9 p.m. And many of our summits has always been, you know, like, United We Stand, or We the People, and this, and kind of Patriot de la John Birch, Oath Keeping, doesn't matter. We have it. I say, hey, we're done at 3. You guys can do what you want till 9, and we close up all our stuff and do what you want. So what we're going to do this time, we're going to make it part, it'll be a post-summit, but we're going to have Rosa Curie doing the Agenda 21 stuff. We got Greg Peterson from Urban Farm will come in, Valley Guy. It'll be like kind of a local activist thing, of which you can be a part of that on the Sunday afternoon thing and have a separate program. That way, people coming in for the cheaper, want to do the local activist agenda, growing food, aquaponic people, they can come in like noon on Sunday, and that way you have bigger crowds for the guys that normally get smaller crowds by the time they speak on Sunday afternoon. You see my point?
Yep.
So this will be something good for you to participate in. Remember, February 16th. Put it on your calendar. All right, here we go.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Hey, me your radio. Turn me up when you feel low. Now let you have me for you. Sing along to my stereo. So, if I was just another dusty record on the shelf, would you blow me off the plane?
Yeah, that's one of Donna's favorites. You know, yeah, turn it up, man. Turn it up. Make me your stereo. I tell you, you can make Matt Papke your stereo. You know, if you need to have a voice, a representation of something, I can tell you, that's what I'm looking forward to. Is Tempe is so, I don't want to say the word influential, it's so representative. And it's certainly, you know, it's not like going in University of Arizona. It's not like Southern Arizona. It's not like in Tucson. Tempe is influenced heavily by more conservative groupings around, but they're still young people. Tempe has, it's kind of landlocked, you know, can't expand or annex, you know, more land or so on. So it has to make do with where it's at, and it got a lot of kind of, you know, money spending. They saw that they could do it in bonding. Man, they went into debt, and it's just so unnecessary. And you go, okay, based on what? Now, what happens? An activist, Matt Papke, that lives there, he goes, he starts going to the city council meetings. I want to see what the hell is going on. Oh, my goodness, this is your philosophy. Wow, we're going to challenge that. They don't want this stuff highlighted. And is it really a social thing on, you know how you can, you know, what marijuana you can grow in your backyard or whatever? No, it's just going to be fiscal stuff. Go ahead and explain that to the people, man. Help me out. What is it that you're going to focus on, and why should they be worried?
Well, it's, you know, you're absolutely right. It is fiscal stuff, but it's the philosophy behind the way they manage the fiscal stuff that is really the issue, right? Because, you know, I think it was Coolidge that said this. I mean, it's easy to spend other people's money. There's virtually no accountability. So you have to have, you know, really, really strict controls in place as far as the people go, because the people have to control the government. It's our duty to restrain the government. And when for the last 5 years the city of Tempe has run a deficit, and for the last 5 years they've raised their property tax rates, well, something's not working, right? They're spending more than they make. I mean, that's the bottom line. You can't spend more than you make. If you spend more than you make as a business, you go out of business.
So you're for cutting police? You're for cutting police? You're not going to have as many police? You want to reduce the police state? You're not going to have any police? If Matt Papke's there, there won't be any firemen and policemen. You won't have any police.
Oh, this would be a free-for-all, Ernie. I mean, you know, I got a garden hose, and I'm sure some people out there got guns, and we'll just take care of ourselves, right?
No, you're not allowed.
No, you know, and that's a misconception. You know, a lot of people think, well, who will build the roads? Well, who will do this? Who will do that? That's not what it's about, guys. It's about just being really, you know, responsible. I mean, these are the people's money. We need to act and care like it's our money. And, you know, give me one quick example. Tempe has a population that really hasn't moved much in 5 years, right? It's gone from like 163 to 165,000. And, you know, Chandler has about 233,000. Tempe has 37.4 square miles of land. Chandler has way more than that. Well, let's just look at one little tiny example of how Tempe is paying more for services. When it comes to bulk waste, to solid waste, Tempe's budget is about $17 million. Chandler's, I believe, came in at 12. So you got more people, more area, with a lower cost of service.
Because waste management has been in the pockets of Tempe since for freaking ever. I bet you it's a waste management thing, isn't it?
That's just one example. You can say, well, why?
Say it. It's waste management. It's a company, isn't it?
I think what Chandler did is they actually privatized it. They just solicited contracts, and there's a private business that is running the show for him.
Well, this is why we did the big trash can, you know, flyer in thing in Fountain Hills, was because it's just it's all these special interests. But Tempe is such a hub, a center of, you know, it's easy pickings. You know, it's because, you know, it was easy to get the city council to be, you know, manipulated into doing the bidding of, and they don't even read and don't know, and probably Matt Papke knows more about the budget and what they're passing and doing than the city councilmen know. You know, so tell me about your experiences going through this stuff. How did you find out this stuff in these numbers? What are you doing?
It's public information.
So
you can go online and you can download the actual budgets. You know, there are hundreds of pages. My campaign manager, her name is Jessica Murrow. She works in accounting, and she, you know, she's homeschooled. She's freaking brilliant, right? And she, her and I went through, and her mostly went through, and really just started picking them apart and saying, well, this is what we're spending. This is where this is at. This is where this is at. And, you know, when they shift things between funds, it gets really difficult to figure out. And some of the things we still have not figured out. Because what, you know, the way they do their kind of accounting, their fuzzy math, is it's just incredibly weird.
I tell you, it just came out, the city of Glendale, right here, which is west of Phoenix. I mean, it's 300 yards from me, you know, not even that, like 200 yards down the road is Glendale. And I'm going, I even have a Glendale address, you know, it's a mail-y thing. I really live in Phoenix, but it's a Glendale city address. And I tell you, Glendale, it just came out, everything that you're talking about. They had 19 auditors go in there for months, went through, and they go, holy crap, you money-shifting scumbag, need to go to jail. Nobody will. You know, people.
Right.
And here you have the city manager or whatever it was, the guy, he went off and, you know, can we rip off Phoenix somewhere else, a lobbyist, De La, whatever, and they're calling him, and he's like, well, heaven's Murgatroyd, I have no idea what you're talking about. And so this is going on everywhere in the planet, and it's like Confessions of an Economic Hitman. You think they didn't take that exact same how they, you know, totally devastated and debt-ridden third world countries, some of the cities like Phoenix and the valley here are bigger than a lot of the countries that they've done this. They go, why, what, you know, Phoenix and Tempe and Mesa and Glendale and Scottsdale aren't on our radar screen? Of course they are. They got billions of dollars. If Phoenix's budget is, what, $2 billion or something? Or, I mean, it's just ridiculous how much money that they're, and they indebt the people there on top of the federal stuff. Here comes Matt Papke, looks at, and his accountant supporter, they go through the budget line, they go, oh, holy crap, and I got one question. How much of the city's budget is allocated to law enforcement?
About $66 million is kind of the number that I've been working with.
Which is what percentage? I mean, you know, we did it on Phoenix. It was a stupid number. Between fire and police protection, it was over half. It was, I'm going, are you kidding me? Is that like a misprint? Am I seeing it wrong or something? It was something stupid like that. And I'm going, and they go, well, we're going to do away with this food tax on Phoenix. And they go, oh, you must, you know, hate police. We won't have enough police. Are you for reducing the police state? Yes. They go, oh, heavens to Murgatroyd, you would reduce the police state, you know? So what about you? You gonna reduce police state? Are you one of them, communist?
You know, I prefer to think of police as peace officers. You know, I do question the validity to have somebody generate revenue for a city through law enforcement.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't think
King's
that's
men.
Good for the people. Yeah. So I'd really want to take a look at that. But to answer your question, you know, what percentage? The overall operating budget for 2012-2013 was almost $600 million for Tempe. So it's not, you know, they're not nearly like Phoenix, it sounds like, but there's some significant spending going on, and we can talk a little bit about some of the details there if you like when we come back.
Spending, but, yep. When we come back, we're going to find out, you know, what we're up against. I mean, there is, when you're talking, you know, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, pretty soon you're talking real violence. Okay, let's go ahead and take notes on some stuff we want to make sure we get in. All right, go. You're saying some of the budget items, what?
Well, to give you an example of the spending, you know, the one of the meetings I went to, the agenda said, we want handheld fingerprinters and we want license plate scanners. So, you know, I got up and said, and it wasn't even an item that we were supposed to be able to speak about, but one of the councilmen sponsored me to speak on it. And I said, well, you know, before we agree to, you know, funding this, which is only, you know, it wasn't a huge amount, it was $100,000 between the two of them, right? Before we do this, what's the policy in place? I mean, what protections are you going to have so that the city of Tempe doesn't incur no Fourth Amendment lawsuits? And they say, well, we'll leave it to the officer's discretion. I said, well, what's the policy? They're like, well, we don't have one yet. And I'm like, well, if you don't have a policy, why do you need this? Like, what is the actual demand? And
revenue,
his argument...
Make money.
Yeah, I'm not going to... The argument was... It's federal grants, one likely. The argument was that they could book people on the street instead of taking them to jail, which I actually think that's okay. But you have to conduct an actual arrest, right? And then you have to, you know, determine if they're... I guess it can be released on their own cognizance kind of thing. I don't even know if a police officer is allowed to do that, now that I think about it in retrospect.
No, why are we going through all the expense of bringing them and booking them when we're going to release them? All we want to do is get them to pay the fine. Here's the ticket, and you're okay, you're free to go. You're lucky I'm your best friend. I didn't haul your ass in handcuffs. Now I'm taking them off. Don't you feel good? You get to go home, and oh, by the way, I need my $670 by the end of the month. Seriously. I mean, it's not any more complicated than that.
Okay. But that's an example of the council not even questioning, you know, $100,000 expense that has significant liability potential. I mean, if they get hit with a lawsuit for violating the Fourth Amendment, they have to give us your fingerprints.
They don't give a shit about that. It's just the money.
You, but that's where they get sued, and in the end, they money, so they need to care about that.
Oh, yeah. The tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, on our PIO. You think they give a crap? It's just it's a balance thing. I go, well, are we making more? Is he putting the people up that we want so everybody else can make it? Because he's got to have a jail to put them in. It costs this, and he's willing to play them. There's some, and it's not even if they lose money, they don't care because it's the particular individual that makes money that's the lobbyist. See, it's not like a merchant war to where, you know, it's like a king and how much have I made in the invasion of the whatever. Ah, we shouldn't do that. It costs too much in treasure and I don't have enough serfs to go around laying waste to everybody, so I'm not going to do it. Well, in our kind of government, it's a special interest. Of course we lose money. Of course we go, you know, to get cheap oil to supply the empire. And I'm going, really? Really? That $70 barrel of oil when I did the check one time cost $130 in the military industrial complex to go get your cheap oil. $130 a barrel. And I'm going, are you freaking kidding me? So it's not about making money, losing money. It's about who makes the money.
I agree with you.
So I'm going, all right, so who makes the money? Where is this coming? Is it spread it out over everybody? Is there some central command that we rule you? I mean, it's just, I'm telling you, man, I love your slogan. You know, free you, free me, free Tempe. From what? From not being free, I can tell you that. So it's a, you know, you want to make it a financial thing, and I'm going, man, it's a civil rights, you know, kind of a liberty thing, you know, and they're all the same thing. They're still putting a gun to your head, taking your money, but, you know, so I'm, all right. So that's where I'm, ugh. All right. Let me see where I go. Okay, I'll play this. This is a long rejoinder, but, you know, it's good for what you're doing. Neo. Here we go.
That's freekeen.com.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
The Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. When you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Were you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress? I was... Look again. Freeze it. What are they?
Sentient programs. Anyone we haven't unplugged is potentially an agent. Inside the Matrix, they are everyone, and they are no one. They are guarding all the doors, they are holding all the keys, which means that sooner or later, someone is going to have to fight them.
Someone.
I won't lie to you, Neo. Every single man or woman who has stood their ground, everyone who has fought an agent has died. But where they have failed, you will succeed.
Why?
Their strength and their speed are still based in a world that is built on rules. Because of that, they will never be as strong or as fast as you can be.
What are you trying to tell me? That I can dodge bullets?
No, Neo. I'm trying to tell you that when you're ready, you won't have to.
You won't have to, Mr. Matt Papke. I give you Neo. You think I'm kidding? This thing right here, I tell you, we'll get to Matt and Sarah. I want to tell you what I see. This is why, if I had to select in this coming election cycles, 2014, where would I put my, you know, interest and attention, make sure you want to cover and pick one of the things and you're playing politics? Where would I put some attention? Where would I, you know, kind of focus the Freedom's Phoenix laser beam? Where would I participate? Where would I make some signs? Where would I have some kind of fun and doing kind of whatever and talking to people behind the scenes? I want Matt to know I'm planting the seeds in a lot of these guys in different groups and kind of I've said, watch out, here comes Neo. You know, you mean that I dodge bullets? No, he won't have to. The people will defend him. They're going to come after him. They're going to throw everything. And they're going to, yeah, but you're, I'm for peace. You know, this, they don't understand what they're up against. They do not get, they do not understand. And you can sit there and explain it to them. You do the Billy Jack thing. I'll take the right side of my right foot, put it up against the right side of your head. Nothing you can do about it. And they don't understand. They don't get it. That's all right. We explain it to them. So what are you going to explain to the people?
Right.
You know, in
well,
the
yeah.
KP?
Yeah, well, check this out. So Sunday, I attended and spoke at an ASU event called the Vigil for Peace. I'm sorry, Vigil for the Oppressed Countries of All the World. And it was actually put on by an organization called Free Skies for Somalia. And there was a lot of, you know, Islamic Muslim students there, right? And I was, you know, one of the minorities at that event. But I got to tell you, and this is what's really cool, Ernie, and I think you and your audience are really going to appreciate this. One of the guys who got up and spoke, his name was Saif, and he spent 5 minutes talking about how the Ron Paul Revolution came together out of nowhere and challenged the establishment, and talked about how the establishment fought them and battled them, and the media ignored them, and how the GOP just completely, you know, torpedoed his campaign and itself. And you know, here's a guy from, you know, guys over Somalia, Free Skies for Somalia. And he sees the revolution. He sees the revolution. And, you know, for me to be there and see that, I was blown away because the message of freedom and liberty transcends every single, you know, organization,
border,
collective group, order, everything you can think of. Because these people were talking about, you know, trying to, you know, just help Palestinians, Syrians, Somalians. And I'm up there talking about the Federal Reserve and how that, you know, leads to war and things like that. And the Gulf of Tonkin. I gave my speech, or actually a poem up there. But I got to tell you, it blew me away because here's, you know, a guy I didn't think had a clue who Ron Paul was, and he's up there using Ron Paul and the revolution as an example on how to fight the establishment.
Okay, you're inside. Let me, you're a good person to ask this. You're inside. I mean, you actually became, what the heck are you, vice principal something of whatever?
Yeah, I'm definitely a principal. No, I'm a third vice chair for District 26 Republicans.
Third and vice chair? How many vice chairs they got?
Delegate. Oh, we have four. So I'm at the bottom. I'm one of the lower rungs.
Okay, so you're an officer in the Republican Party.
Yes, sir.
You're a precinct committeeman.
Yep.
Okay,
Now
you're dealing with, as you go and you have various, of course, you'll bring people to speak, like Mark Victor will go when he's running for, you know, U.S. Senate against, you know, Flake and all this kind of stuff, and you bring him in, yeah, go ahead and give your say. You have your representative of the Republican, whatever the heck, at these different progressive, more oriented gatherings and so on, and different, you know, healthy this and we don't want that and leave us alone, whatever, from a progressive standpoint. You're there. You're a fixture. I mean, they're like, you know what? You know, we went and heard Matt. Yay. So this is, you know, but what are you up against? I mean, you know, in the Republican hierarchy, I guarantee you that you got the blue hair, older, they're 68 plus kind of, we rule and damn it, we need more Indians to come in, do what we say, and you're acting like a chief and doing what you want and running, and you're not taking our direction, and we got to get you on the plantation of blah, blah, blah. Tell me about that relationship and that experience.
Yeah, no, so it's actually really good, right? Because I do work with a lot of people in the Tea Party, and they're very, very intelligent, hardworking people that are trying to, you know, get the country out of the throes of the socialist path we're on. So, you know, it's not all blue-haired people are against Matt, right? But let me tell you what really the big picture is. First and foremost, it's our education. Next monthly meeting in October, we're having Austrian economists and a Keynesian economist come in, and we're going to have a forum where people can see both sides, because you never hear about the Austrian side of economics. And I want people to have that exposure. We've had people come in and talk about all types of controversial issues. And in our district, LB 26, we just voted to rebuke John McCain for actions unbecoming of a U.S. senator. So people are waking up, realizing that, you know, it doesn't have to be young, it doesn't have to be old, it has to be freedom, it has to be liberty, it has to be, you know, the accountability to the people that's important. But that said, there definitively is a power structure within both parties, you know, the Republican Party included, that wants to maintain power. Let me just tell you what they're doing right now, and I want, you know, to fight this as much as we possibly can, and if your listeners want to help with this, then let's do it, right? Because we really do have a one-party system, but there's two heads of the party right now.
Okay, I got pen and paper. Go.
All right. So right now, if you donated money to Governor Romney's campaign, right, say you donated a few $1,000 in Arizona, you're going to get a phone call and say, Ernie, hey, this is Jim from the Arizona Republican Party. How are you today? I wanted to take some time and thank you for your support for Governor Romney last year. It's unfortunate we didn't win, but we're going to give it, you know, we're going to win in 2016. For your support, I would like to offer you the position of precinct committeeman if you represent your neighborhood. So what do I have to do? Well, I'm going to send you this form. I need you just to fill it out, and if you get it notarized, go ahead and get it notarized. Or if you can't, let me know, and I'll send somebody to notarize for you, and then mail it back to me, and we'll take care of the rest. That's it. What happens is they'll put a, you know, somebody to watch over them, and every time there's an important vote, they'll go say, "Hey, we need your proxy. We're gonna go vote for you. We have this big issue. Oh, you can't make it. Well, we're gonna vote for you." And what happens is that's how you get corrupt leadership elected to county chair positions, even maybe district chair and state chair positions. Those executive officers that, when the Ron Paul Revolution went through and went through that meat grinder, it was because there were people in those positions that were taking orders and just order takers. You have to block this person. You need to, you know, not let this delegation get elected. You need to do this. So we have to counter it, because if we don't, 2016 is going to be the same as 2012. And that's what I'm working very hard on, and I'm happy to help anybody out.
Okay. This is, you know, what the bad guys are going up against. They're going up against guys like Matt Papke that understand that he went to Tampa. You know, he's done the Ron Paul thing. He went through. He knows. He gets it. You know, we're going to play inside, going to whip ass and doing kind of whatever and peace out. Fine. Matt does a good job. That one less thing I got to do. But I'm helping with the philosophical argument.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
Excuse me, is this where I get a license to start a new business?
I wouldn't be hasty. You have to get a license to go out of business, too, you know.
Oh, well, look, I've invented this little anti-gravity machine, see?
Oh, is that why you're walking 2 inches above the floor?
Oh, yes, it's very comfortable. It saves on shoe leather.
Yeah, well, you have to fill out these forms and report to the Human Services Department of Manpower Orientation and register with the Fair Employment Practice Commission, the Wage and Hour Division of the Employment Standards Administration, the State Sales and Income Tax Division, the Internal Revenue Service, and the Social Security Administration of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, and of course, OSHA.
OSHA? I thought that was a little town in Wisconsin.
You'll find out. Say, floating around like that could be dangerous. Have you checked with the Consumer Product Safety Commission?
Well, not yet.
Come to think of it, you actually are flying, aren't you? Look, you need to go over to the Federal Aviation Administration and the Transportation...
It's very hard to get anything done these days if you're in business, but free enterprise built this country. Think what could happen if we don't keep it free. A public service of this station and the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise, Bellevue, Washington.
Besides, we just can't have people floating about unregulated, you know.
Okay, what I want to know is, you know, is there a, you know, regardless whether you win, don't win, whatever, is this a fix inside Republican Party, I don't give a shit thing, okay? And it's a, but, you know, I mean, is there, you know, use for that? What kind of inroads are you making? What kind of, you know, I mean, because I just don't freaking care, man. You know, that's not where, but I mean, if that's a method that you're using to do this, you know, fine. But I need, you know, some evidence of why should I give a shit? Seriously.
About the Republican Party?
Yeah, I don't give a crap.
Yeah, that's cool. I can, sure, I'm happy to put that out there. Hey, we should also talk about the March on Monsanto that you and I are both speaking at October.
Okay, well... Okay, but, you know, the only reason I'm interested in that is that it's a, you know, just another representation of you're in with, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you know, 3,000 people at the last one.
Yeah, okay.
You can connect with the Liberty Radio Network via our Facebook page at facebook.lrn.fm. That's facebook.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
It's like, I don't care about nothing, man. Roll another blunt. Yeah. Oh, good.
Okay, now let me tell you. You know, this is this part of the crowd that, you know, Matt, you know, appeals to? Because I know he's, you know, he speaks at a lot of different things. Free you, free Tempe, free me, and, you know, roll another blunt. You know, because this is not, I don't know Matt to be, you know, a big giant advocate of smoking marijuana, or he's an advocate of freedom. But he goes to a lot of these types of events. And, man, he's one of them. Got the long dreadlocks, looking young, kind of rock and roll and whatnot, and talking some logic and reason and economics. This is what is so scary to them. None of these, you know, button down vest wearing three piece suit tie going kind of individuals, high and tight haircut, can go in and what, you know, Matt was Marine, you know, so that gives them street cred on that one. You know, Austrian economist, understands what, you know, love illusionary, you know, officer in the Republican Party. I don't know what the hell they're going to do to try and get a chink out of his armor. But, you know, the thing is that all these different groups, be it, you know, I just want to smoke marijuana. Well, what about legalizing methamphetamine? No, we don't want to, you know, we don't want to get, you know, seen as being part of the kind of what, you know, it's a freedom thing, man. I own my body thing. Oh, well, okay, yeah, maybe I can go with that, what Matt said, or what Mark Victor said, you know, he's got a lot of these things, too. Then we have, you know, the permaculture, Valley permaculture people, the urban farm people, people that want to grow and be left alone-isms, and here comes Agenda 21, and you're not allowed to have food-bearing plants in Glendale, you must remove them to get your permit to expand and improve on your whatever, and you want stroke permit from us to be able to build on your land, you got to get rid of all your tomato plants. You think I'm kidding? You know, this is a, and then what do they have? Oh, we gotta have money. We're gonna have this mobile fingerprinting thing so that we can, you know, oh, and the officers get to let them go. We get to book you in the field. Oh, we need license plate readers. And Matt's there going, why? You know, it's for money. All the king's men is make more money. We don't need to bring them in and spend all the money and waste of time in booking them and everything. We make more money if we just let them go out in the field and say, and send your $600 fine. You know, this is, you know, when you have this wide coalition being represented by a quality, educated individual like Matt Papke, it is a wooden stake in the heart of the beast. It is, I don't want to take them over. I don't want to, you know, be part of them. I don't want to kind of change. I want to eliminate them in our minds. Matt's doing that on all these coalitions. Now, I want to talk about that. In this last segment here, Matt, tell me about all the coalitions that you're speaking to and the kind of converts that you're making, and how much is that sticking, and how much of a threat is it to the collectivization of they want to take all our goodies?
Sure. So I'll give you an example. I spoke at the Tea Party really recently, right? And one of the, you know, questions, maybe gotcha question, was, what about gay marriage? And my answer was, I don't care. We spent a few little, but who cares, right? I speak at the normal meeting, ask questions, and, you know, I said, well, how does raw milk and marijuana, how are they related? How is the war on drugs related to the war on raw milk? I'm a member of GMO Free Arizona, and there's a big, big event coming up on October 12th that you'll be speaking at. And it's the same thing. Well, how is this related to this? And this all comes down to the Constitution. That we have rights that are inalienable, we're born with, and the Constitution is there to protect us and say the government can't violate these rights, and they keep doing it over and over and over again. And as more and more people find out that their little world's being affected, our goal is to bring them to the big picture and say it's all of our world.
Big picture. You know,
Students for Somalia, Free Somalia Skies, now with them, Students for Liberty, talk to them a lot. College Republicans, I speak with them. I speak with them about getting involved. You know, everybody go to becomeapc.com. If we're going to take it back, it's only going to be through the Republican Party. It's not going to be through the Democrat Party.
Back? Why do I even want to take it back? What do I care?
You got to restore the sovereignty and the respect of people. And there is a methodology to do it. Vietnam was ended because of defunded. It took 6 years for the people to send new people to Capitol Hill over and over again, but eventually they started cutting the budget, and eventually the war came to an end because the people said enough is enough. If you're not going to do your job, we're going to replace you. I know it's a long battle. I know it has, you know, a very distant goal, but it can be done.
That was a side effect of the soldiers just not fighting it anymore. They got 5,000-6,000 officers getting fragged that the Pentagon even admits to. You got Nixon, you know, bombing Cambodia and Laos and North Vietnam because the soldiers wouldn't fight it anymore. We're done. Yep. Next, you know, and then they come home, they infect just exactly what's going on now. Exactly what's going on now. And the people are just saying, hell no, the Syria. Now they're going, oh, we got to go to Iran because we'll think of something. And I'm going, it's a philosophical thing. I don't want to get mired into, you know, kind of thinking that, you know, you take over their little, you know, one or two ramparts in the castle wall or something, even with Matt up there, that has near the impact than you just changing the minds of the people that have heard you speak. I don't give a crap about some shiny badge you attain. It is the process. Right. I am supporting the process. The year, by the time it gets to election night in November 2014, I don't give a crap. I'm watching the latest Deadliest Catch or something. You know, I don't give a crap. If I haven't already had my impact before then, well, then I didn't do my job. Well, you think I give a crap what the vote totals off of their government computer says? And that's another thing. You know, are you having any concern that they're going to be accurately portraying your support?
No, there's already people, you know, taking slashing attacks, like, you know, saying different things, like I'm against composting because that's a component of Agenda 21 and things like that. But it doesn't matter. It's a message, Ernie. I mean, that's what it's about. I mean, it's very simple. We're spending more than we make as a city. We've done it for the last 5 years. We've raised property tax rates for the last 5 years. These are not things you do in a free society.
Have they cut anything?
Under control.
Have they cut any spending?
No. The new budget just came out, and I looked at it, and I believe this is going to, you know, try to remember this. I believe there are 38 funds, and no, there's 36 funds, and 29 of the 36 had increased spending.
Wow! The others have any cuts? I mean, was the total budget more than before?
The total budget projected now is lower, but they made a massive debt payment last year, or this year actually. So it is lower projected. But, you know, that was an anomaly because they paid down, I think, about $100 million in bond debt.
Yeah, and what they project don't mean squat anyway.
Yeah. But again, for the last 5 years, they've raised the property tax rate. For the last 5 years, they've run a deficit. And these guys think it's okay to tax food. Now, I don't care who you are. There's very few people out there that are going to, it's okay to tax food, because that affects, you know, the meekest of the meek. You got seniors that are on fixed incomes. You got people that are virtually homeless. You've got all these segments of society, and it's not a lot of money. It's not a huge amount of money, but it is to them. And it just appalls me that they think it's okay to tax food.
Okay, I want to add some rhetoric. I want to add some rhetoric to your thing. Think about this. In like 2005, I think it was, they decided that they're going to take food and fuel and housing off of the consumer price index to say whether we had inflation or not. And when they did that, they go, oh, no, there's no inflation anymore. We just took away anybody that wanted to, you know, the cost of anybody that wanted to eat, travel, or live in a house, okay? So that's not on it anymore. We don't have increases because we said. And the increase in the cost of living for, like, Social Security and everything is based on that consumer price index. And as you take food and fuel, and your fixed income senior citizen doesn't do anything but eat and go to the store to get your food anyway, you're screwed. Okay, so I'm going, you know, here we have, they take the food and they say, we're going to tax the food, but we're, and they keep increasing that, but we're not going to put it in the consumer price index to show that you got inflation. Screw you twice.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So I'm just, you know, I'm like, seriously, that's why you need a Matt Papke. That's why you need somebody out there inside doing all the stuff. So what's Ernie going to do on this kind of thing? I'm going to support Matt. Why? Because it's so much easier than me having to do anything. Matt's doing all the heavy lifting for us, going to the meetings, finding out all this stuff, speaking about it, the perfect guide to bring together a coalition of the type of people that listen to what he has to say. He represents Generation Next. Do you understand why I'm excited about Matt's campaign? Free you, free me, free Tempe, help Matt do it because, you know, because we can. One less thing, you know, I got to do. And I got to do a little bit of help, and we're going to go... Yeah, he's right. I'm speaking at, you know, some of these different things. Matt helps set some of this stuff up. We help with a lot of, you know, other things. We want to, you know, encourage Jordan to come, and we'll do and kind of we'll play. But I tell you, why? So he can get a shiny badge? Hell no. That may be the side effect. But the real goal is what? How many minds can we free? Matt Papke is doing a crap load of mind freeing. And I want to help. You should help too. Where do they go? Where do they go?
FreeTempe.com.
FreeTempe.com. Throw a couple of bucks. Send a Bitcoin. Hey, do you take Bitcoin?
No, we're not set for Bitcoin.
We'll work on that. We'll work on that. Hold on right there. I want to talk to you. You know, people,
right,
I'm telling you, this is, you know, one of the things we're going to pay attention to for a year.